Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Beautiful morning. It is going to be a lovely day. And then, yeah, winter is going to hit. Tomorrow will be downright ugly. If you don't have to go anywhere, you're encouraged not to. There's going to be blizzard conditions over parts of our region tomorrow, but let's enjoy today. We are looking for partly sunny skies, 67 for our high today. Tonight is when we'll start to see things changing. We'll see rain. That'll change over to snow by early tomorrow morning, and it's just going to be a nasty day. There is a winter storm watch in effect from late tonight through tomorrow night for the entire Red River Valley and parts of West Central and Central Minnesota. Blizzard conditions are possible. I'll have more on your forecast coming up in a little bit. Major spring flooding is not expected in the Red River Valley this spring. The latest flood outlook from the National Weather Service shows isolated minor flooding could occur, but the risk for major flooding remains low. Keep in mind, things can change if we get heavy precipitation. Fargo Public Schools says Fargo North head basketball coach and Ben Franklin Middle School teacher Travis Hagg was placed on administrative leave pending an investigation the day before the Spartans were set to play Bismarck Century in the state tournament. Fargo Public Schools says because of an open investigation, administrators can't share any other information. Fargo police say Hagg's not under any criminal investigation. Assistant coach Paul Zenz is interim coach for the rest of the season. In 2019, Hagg was named Fargo Public Schools Teacher of the Year. Minnesota State Senator Nicole Mitchell appeared before an ethics committee for the first time after being charged with two felonies for breaking into her stepmother's home in Detroit Lakes. Senator Karen Housley, a Republican from Stillwater, said delays in both the criminal proceedings and the ethic committee's proceedings have kept a dark cloud over the Minnesota Senate. Senators voted to defer rulings until after Mitchell's trial. Republican Senator Steve Drazkowski said a second ethics complaint is entirely about whether Senator Mitchell's action prevented a vote of the Senate on her political future meets the body standard of ethical conduct. No actions were taken. An investigation into a fatal 2023 plane crash that killed Mandan State Senator Doug Larson, his wife and two sons near Moab, Utah, is complete. Larson was piloting a private plane that crashed into a hill. The NTSB says the probable cause was a loss of visual reference while departing at night, which resulted in Larson experiencing spatial disorientation. A revised state revenue forecast for North Dakota supports significant investments in property tax relief and other priorities, despite a downward adjustment in oil tax revenue. The revised forecast projects the 2025-27 biennium will bring in general fund revenues of about $5.1 billion, a reduction of $105 million, or 2%, from the January executive forecast used to prepare Governor Armstrong's budget recommendations to the legislature. Even with the change, the Armstrong executive budget would be projected to end the biennium with a $125 million positive ending fund balance. The North Dakota Senate has struck down a resolution asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn its ruling giving marriage rights to same-sex couples in a 31-13 vote. The House passed the resolution last month. Supporters of the resolution believe the 2015 decision was unjust. ACLU of North Dakota advocacy manager Cody Schuler says we're disappointed because of the blind vote. North Dakotans will not be able to see how their senators voted. Summit Carbon Solution wants to suspend its carbon pipeline application in South Dakota. The company filed a motion with the State Public Utilities Commission following Governor Larry Roden's signing of a bill into law prohibiting using eminent domain for carbon dioxide pipelines. Summit says their ability to get survey permission has changed. And Minnesota lawmakers are moving forward with a bill that would require local law enforcement to cooperate with U.S. ICE and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The House Public Safety Committee has advanced a measure that would force local law enforcement to inform ICE when an undocumented person is arrested on suspicion of committing a violent crime. That bill now goes to the Elections, Finance, and Government Operations Committee. Boys were busy calling double games last night. Jace will be in shortly. Minnesota Wild fell to the New York Rangers 3-2 in overtime at Xcel Energy Center. Freddie Gaudreau and Marcus Johansson each scored a goal in the game. Philip Gustafson faced saved 28 of 31 shots he faced. Minnesota fell to a record of 37-25-4 on the season. The Wild now host the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night. High school basketball boys Section 8 Quarter A championship. Number two, Moorhead Edge. Number one, St. Michael, Albertville, 59-58. Spuds will now play in the state tournament between March 20th and 22nd. Moorhead finds out its seed and quarterfinals opponent tomorrow morning. Boys Class AA State Tournament, the quarterfinals last night. West Fargo rolled Dickinson, 82-55. It was Fargo Davies over Bismarck High, 80-77. Bismarck Century took down Fargo North, 88-69. And Mandan defeated Grand Forks Red River, 83-71. The semifinals today, it'll be West Fargo taking on Fargo Davies at 6:30 and Bismarck Century against Mandan at 8:30. Girls Class State AA Quarterfinals, West Fargo Horace defeated Bismarck Legacy, 73-59. Mandan edged Grand Forks Red River, 58-57. Bismarck Century over Shanley, 59-54. And Minot defeated Fargo Davies, 65-59. Semifinals are this afternoon. West Fargo Horace takes on Mandan at 1 o'clock and Bismarck Century against Minot High at 3. PGA Tour, the Players' Championship in Verde Beach, Florida. Lucas Glover, J.J. Spahn, and Camilo Viegas are tied for the lead at 6 under par. It's currently a five-way tie for 4th at 5 under. Tom Hoge is tied for 47th at 1 under. He is set to tee off his second round at 1:02 this afternoon. Play was suspended late for a few players. Golfers begin teeing off the second round at 6:40 this morning. Minnesota Timberwolves welcome the Orlando Magic to Target Center tonight. Opening tip-off is scheduled for 7. Minnesota enters riding a 6-game winning streak. The Wolves currently have a record of 38-29 on the season. The Magic are 31-36. North Dakota men's hockey at Omaha, the NCHC quarterfinals, best of 3. Tonight they play at 7. It'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow. And game 3 Sunday at 6 o'clock if necessary. Fargo Forest take on the Muskegon Lumberjacks tonight. Puck drop 7:05, Saturday at 6:05. North Dakota AA State Basketball right here on WDAY Radio tonight. It'll be number 1 East, West Fargo, taking on the number 3 East team, Fargo Davies. Join Steve Hallstrom for all the game coverage beginning at 6:30. And then tomorrow, the girls' championship game will be at 6, the boys' championship at 8. And we do have basketball on our sister station, The Flag. Tomorrow, NCAA Central Region Quarterfinals. The number 2 MSUM Dragons take on number 7 Fort Hays State. Join Big Game James McCarty and Jace Denman for all the game coverage. Pre-game, 2 o'clock with the tip-off set for 2:30. Go Dragons. All right, nice day today, partly sunny, 67 for our high with winds southeast 5 to 15. Things change tonight. We have a winter storm watch that takes effect through tomorrow night for the entire Red River Valley, parts of west central Minnesota. It's going to be windy and cold. It will start with rain and freezing rain, sleet. Winds will be out of the northwest, 15 to 30, gusting up to 50 miles an hour, 24 for our low. Tomorrow is going to be an ugly day, windy with snow and blowing snow. Blizzard conditions are possible. Total snow accumulations anywhere from 1 to 6 inches. Some spots could be as high as 8 inches, maybe more. Winds at time gusting up to 60 miles an hour. Now, the National Weather Service is saying that a band of heavy snow will develop, and that's where the blizzard conditions are going to be. Most people in the winter storm watch area might see very little snow, very little blizzard conditions. However, you are urged not to travel tomorrow unless absolutely necessary. Dina will be in less than an hour with more details on our forecast coming up. But tomorrow, awful. Sunday, things will be fine. You know, if you headed out of town, you were leaving today sometime, you're not returning till Sunday. Things looking better. The winds are going to die down. The snow will end. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high of 27, and then seasonable temps all next week. We will see highs in the mid-30s. Believe it or not, it is 50 degrees out right now here at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Again, looking for a high of 67. Right now, our winds are out of the south, southeast, 19 miles an hour. It is 5:10. We are going to get your national news in from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:15, welcome into the Friday edition of Bonnie and Friends. Enjoy the lovely day today, because come tonight, things are going to change. Tomorrow, you're just going to want to hunker down. Jay Stenman has arrived. Good morning to you, Jay.
Hello, Bonnie.
Did you notice the full moon's out?
Yes, all the crazies. There's a couple of werewolves on the way in.
People are howling at the moon.
Uh-huh.
People do act up when there's a full moon, and the dogs get a little stir crazy too.
A little bit.
There's something to be said for that.
That gravitational pull on the rest of the world.
Something like that. All right. Mm-hmm. You and James will be getting out of town this morning, sometime today, so you don't have to worry about the nasty weather tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll avoid the weather here. We'll get headed down to Topeka today. I mean, based on different looks, it looks like at least 9 hours of drive time. I think we'll probably have to stop every 3-ish hours or so to refuel. So just off the top of my head, that probably means Sioux Falls, Omaha, maybe Kansas City. I don't remember.
We should have nice weather going.
Yeah, it should be fine. I think the last I looked down in Topeka, like, I want to say it was Sunday, maybe Monday. It might be in the 50s down there and windy, but like, tomorrow and I think Tuesday are supposed to be pretty nice down there.
Okay.
So
I was thinking maybe you were going to go into like upper 60s and 70s or
a
something.
A couple of the days I believe that it was, but I think Sunday and Monday was going to be windy and like in the 50s. But that was my initial look at it, you know, when I looked at it earlier in the week.
And I always find when we're traveling too, about every 2.5 hours, two and a half, 3 hours for stopping to stretch your legs, use the restroom, get a beverage if you need it or whatever. Otherwise, it gets too
If we get down there, we won't get down there till tonight. But today's high in Topeka is 73 and windy, and then Monday and Tuesday 75 and 77. So in a sense, hopefully we're there until Wednesday morning. But I never know with March Madness time. I think Wednesday, it's got a 50% chance of rain, but still a high of 64. The cold days are going to be Saturday and Sunday in the mid to upper 50s. So that's the tentative forecast down there.
And now you have your first game tomorrow afternoon. Now, do the Dragons need to win each and every game to stay alive? So
basically, in a best-case scenario, the Dragons have 6 games left in the season.
Okay.
It's survive in advance, you know, win or simply put, go home.
And you've told me you think they've got a really good chance.
I do. I do like their chances at regionals. I haven't obviously looked out far enough to see what it would be like at the Elite Eight, but you're the 2 seed for a reason. You're playing your best basketball of the year. You play a tough Fort Hays State team, and then after that, it's going to be a fellow NSIC foe. So there are 5 total teams from the NSIC. There are 4 teams, obviously, outside of the Dragons. They are Minot State, Concordia St. Paul, Winona State, and Southwest Minnesota State. And you beat Minot 2 out of 3 times so far this year. CSP you've split with. Southwest you lost to, but you only played them once this year. And then Winona, you've beaten them 3 times, twice in the regular season, once in the tournament. So to try and get wins against any one of those 4 teams will be difficult, because they are very capable of beating the Dragons. They know the Dragons better than these other teams do, so it's not an easy thing, but it shows the depth and the quality of the conference of the NSIC. So I would like to think, as an NSIC broadcaster in general terms, I'd like to say that it's going to be an NSIC matchup in the final for the region. But I don't know a lot about Washburn. I know they've been ranked in the top 10 most of the year. They've been easily the top team in our region based on wins and losses. But their 3 losses are a little bit of head scratchers, because they've lost to some teams that they're well above in the standings in their conference, and they lost to the 8 seed in their opening game in their conference tournament. So, and that team was, I think, had a losing record going into the conference tournament. So, you know, anything can happen this time of year, but I mean, they have just as good a chance as anybody else down there. They got a 1-8 chance of winning the region and getting to the Elite Eight.
Go Dragons! Mm-hmm. We'll be listening. All right. Question of the morn, what would you do if you didn't have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? Oh my. 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Friday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you, thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Lovely day today. Get out, try to enjoy it. 67 for our high temp, maybe play a little hooky if you can. Mm-hmm. You guys are not looking very good today. Call in and tell the boss you're sick. It's not going to get ugly until tonight. That's when it starts turning colder. Rain's going to start. That'll mix over with freezing rain. Winds are going to pick up. 15 to 30, gusting to 50. Some spots will even see winds as high as 60 miles an hour. I think yesterday Dino was telling us he figured like the worst of it's going to be about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and all throughout Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may have adjusted here we last spoke with Dino.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I got the weather alert from the old Amazon, and it was midnight to midnight. So the whole 24 hours starting, you know, tonight all the way through the end of the day, all the way through end of Saturday. So those 24 hours is when the winter weather storm watch is on. So.
And it's basically a Red River Valley and western Minnesota event into parts of central Minnesota. But the winter storm watch, National Weather Service has posted, is all over the valley, parts of west central Minnesota. Blizzard conditions possible. They're saying anywhere from 1 to 6 inches will be common. Some spots will see 8, but I think I even heard Dean on the Jay Thomas show saying maybe even heavier snow for some areas. Mm-hmm. Thinking that will in the metro be on the lower end of that, but that's just, I'm not the expert. I just go by what, you know, Dean left us and what I can find from the National Weather Service. So he'll be in a little more than a half hour here, and he'll hold our hands and walk us through exactly
That's very nice.
I know. He's a good handholder. What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That's our question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning, Roger. He says, no phone or computer? That was the first 45 years of my life. I think I'd be okay.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I guess it just depends on what you got going on. If, for example, say James and I are taking in basketball games, I wouldn't really necessarily need the phone or anything. Mm-hmm. As long as you got a copy of the stats in front of you or the rosters, you're good to go. Other times, you know, you're just kind of bored. And I hate to say it, but I don't know that I would have been able to make it without my phone and iPad when I was stuck in that little room for a week. When we got like three channels.
Stir crazy. Yep. It's like you had to have something to do. I would be fine without my phone and computer. However, if it was the entire weekend and I rolled into work Monday morning, I might be rather boring if I wasn't able to surf news and interesting stories to talk about all weekend. I'd maybe have to like go out and about and find things to do and talk to people.
Yeah, you might, instead of sitting at home kind of relaxing on a weekend, if it's a weekend, you might have to get out and walk the dog more and pick up the landmines in the backyard, which, you know, they're not going anywhere for me while I'm gone. I know that.
I think people in, you know, most of us who are listening here too, in our age demographic, I think most of us will be just fine. I think the younger crowd, you just kind of wonder like, I don't have a phone. I think they would go crazy.
Yeah, my two daughters, they would, no phone or computer. I mean,
what they would do is they'd crawl in bed and they'd sleep it away. That's what mine would do.
The youngest would sleep it away, but if they're up, I would assume they'd probably come out and watch TV. I mean, if that's technically an option there, you know.
Logan would watch TV. Yeah. He might, you know, do some balling if he had buddies that could play basketball or something like that. But I know the girls would try to sleep it away, especially Bailey, my oldest one. What would you do if you didn't have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? 701-293-9000. We go to the phone lines. We find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Top of the morning to you, both of you.
Yes.
Morning.
Would you survive without a phone or computer all weekend?
Well, I was thinking I would probably have to be on Gilligan's Island not to have a phone, but because they didn't have anything back then. But, you know, the funny thing is, just about everybody else in the world has one, so you could maybe bum a call from somebody.
Polly,
that's cheating.
Yeah, Polly, you cheater. We're banning you. We're taking away your phone and computer. You can't borrow somebody else's.
Nice try, though.
I think back to my years with my older brother when we would go backpacking into the wilderness, and there was never any phones then anyway, because it was back when they didn't have them. But I can imagine somebody ruining the whole trip. You know, you're back there 15 miles back into the wilderness, and somebody comes walking by your place where you're camping, and they got a phone and they're talking on it. You know, I can see that happening.
That's true. There's so many people so addicted. It's like, get out and enjoy nature. Leave your phone behind or put your phone in your pocket and just enjoy it. But you would survive, though, if you didn't have a phone or computer for a whole weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'd have a deck of cards and a scrimmage board, and I'd beat my brother just like I always did.
Yeah, yeah, same. Build puzzles, read, play cards, go for a nice long hike somewhere, and, yeah, I would be totally fine, too. All right, Paulie, yep. Well, you enjoy your weekend. Good hearing from you.
Both of you, too.
Yep.
Good hearing from you, Jace.
Yep, you bet.
You bet. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We are Bonnie and Friends. You guys are the friends. You know your job. Phone lines are always open to you. 701-293-9000. What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That is our question of the morning. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Janet says she would go visit a friend for coffee. Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
Go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Read a good book.
Yeah.
Listen to WDAY radio.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And do some cooking and baking until the weekend was over and her life got back to normal again. I like the way Janet's got it figured out. Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing. I mean, all that stuff. Janet and I are very compatible here. We got a lot in common, and she's a cat lover, too. Yeah. Find things to do.
Yeah.
And like I said, those of us, you know, who have lived life and we grew up without smartphones, I think all of us and computers, we would be fine. It's that younger generation, especially not having a phone. They would go stir crazy.
Well, it'd almost be like those that are probably our age and older, Bonnie, that would like, well, if you couldn't watch TV all weekend, what would you do? And, you know, obviously everybody's watching stuff on their mobile devices these days. Mm-hmm. So if you take away that, then you take away TV after that. You know, there's some, especially the younger people in our country right now, would be just like, I can't do anything on my phone or iPad. I can't watch television. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do?
How about, like, be one with yourself and think and process and just enjoy peace and quiet? That's
wow.
That's what I
Bonnie love would sit at home and meditate.
No, I don't meditate, but I just like, I'm just like, I love my own headspace. There's a lot going on up there,
I was
going
to say that. You might need a whole week to get, you know, used to hanging out in Bonnie's head.
Yeah. Or family, like Janet said, friends, family, friends. Yeah, totally. Like I said, the only thing is I would roll into work Monday morning and I'd be really
You would have
behind.
Nothing to talk about.
Well, I'd have a couple things, but I'd be really behind. I'd like be a news blackout because that's basically what I do on my phone. I just
What happened this weekend?
All
nothing.
Day long,
nothing
I surf
happened.
News stories. Welcome to my world. Justine would read a book or two. Absolutely. That's what I do on my treadmill. It makes the time go a lot faster.
Yeah.
Read a book. I love reading. Trevor says it depends on the time of year. Now he would be stuck at home, but if it was warmer, he would just go to the lake. There you go.
There's a lot of people that have lake places or friends with lake places. They get out there, get on the water or near the water and just relax.
Yeah, and if it's nice and, you know, obviously warmer, peaceful, just sit outside, listen to the birds, listen to the crickets, the frogs, whatever you might have going on. I love it. 532, what would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? Love hearing from you guys. 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Catherine says, actually get something done.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
There's
plenty of projects around the house that I'm like, meh.
Yeah, if you've got to find things to do, you certainly will because you can't waste all your time on your computer or your phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to go down those, you know, Instagram or Facebook reels or TikToks, and next thing you know, you've wasted an hour without even realizing it. They were like, I was just going to look at this one thing before I went to bed. So
yeah, that rabbit hole that you, James, and I are kind of. But it's fun. That's entertainment, too. Some people might be, like, gaming, playing games on their phone or computer, whereas we come across a lot of my reels are, like, funny work things because once you click on something, you'll get more.
Yeah.
But also health and nutrition and exercise because that's kind of what I'm into. So I'll get those and then I'll – but once in a while, I'll click on, like, a baby thing because I'm like, I've got a granddaughter. She's nine months, you know. And then they think that I want all these mommying and baby advice. And it's just like, no, hide reel. Yeah. And then I'll get back to my stream of what I want, the funny work memes or the workout healthy. Eating, nutrition,
or the dog
things.
Videos.
Yeah, well,
I get a lot of dog videos.
I'll get a few of those. It depends on what I'm clicking on, but yeah, that's the way it goes. 5:33. Good morning to you. Happy Friday morning. Thanks for being here. Nice day today. Get out and enjoy. Spring-like, close to 70, 67 for our high temp. It's not going to get ugly until tonight. That's when the winds pick up, the rain starts. It'll eventually change to freezing rain, maybe some sleet, and then snow. Tomorrow, an ugly day, windy with snow and blowing snow. Travel is not advised here in the Red River Valley, western and west central Minnesota into the central section of the state tomorrow. Any snow that does fall, it is really going to get kicked around with northwest winds 20 to 35, gusting up to 50. The Weather Service even saying some gusts as high as 60 miles an hour are possible. If you do need to travel today and you're heading into the Red River Valley or you're heading east of us, leave today. Don't wait until tomorrow because travel could be impossible with blizzard conditions, whiteout conditions expected. And then on your return Sunday, things will be much better as those winds die down and the snow ends. So basically, you know, a 12 to 24-hour event here is what we're going to see with the snow and incredibly strong winds. 5:35 right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Friday morning, Bonnie and friends, WDAY Radio. Good morning to you. Thanks for being here. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. Jim Miller will have our WDAY Radio news at the top of the hour. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with our changing forecast. And Big Game James McCarty will have your WDAY Radio sports. It's hard to believe. Even like I had to turn off my air and open my windows. It's like, oh, I'm just warm coming in. Well, it's 50 degrees out this morning.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know. I mean, in tomorrow it won't be.
That is true. 67 is our high for today. Partly sunny. Enjoy it while you can. Tomorrow is just going to be an ugly day, so make sure everybody rushes to the grocery store to get your milk, eggs, and bread today. it will be. People. Will be, it's like it's a one-day event. You don't have to stock up unless you're out of that stuff. So don't panic or anything. But, yeah, if you don't have to go anywhere tomorrow, you're urged to stay put. The National Weather Service has that winter storm watch out for late tonight through tomorrow night for the entire Red River Valley, parts of west central and central Minnesota. Blizzard conditions are possible. Snow amounts from 1 to 8 inches, maybe even more in spots. And even if you just get that 1 inch and you have winds, you know, gusting up to 50, 60 miles an hour, that's going to create whiteout conditions at times. So thinking from what we were able to determine from Dino yesterday, sounded like maybe we'll be on the lower end. But then I heard him on Jay's show that I think we're kind of might be on the edge here for the Fargo-Moorhead area. So
buckle up.
Yeah, he'll be in and less than a half hour, so he'll have more details on that coming up. What would you do if you didn't have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, and the phone lines are open to you, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Susie said she would go crazy. Oh, she goes, I would have to take something to sleep all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, no phone or computer. I mean, I think as long as we get to include our streaming services to watch TV, I think the wife and I would probably watch a bunch of shows. And if it's nice weather, you know, that's kind of a, you know, depending on if it's this weekend or a different weekend. If it's a nice weekend out, you can get out, walk the dog, go get some fresh air, maybe do some, you know, things that have been needing to be done since October outside. Just saying. But yeah, I mean, you could find some things to do. And as long as you still get the caveat that, you know, you can watch your Apple TV or whatever.
I
should have
threw the TV in there, too. I would have crippled all you guys. They would have meltdowns this morning, phone, TV, or computer.
I mean, well, here's the thing, though. If you get rid of the computer and the phone, et cetera, I mean, can I still use my smart device, my Amazon to listen to my music or something, you know? Because I mean,
you're kind of cheating, like Polly.
Well, not exactly.
I'm skirting my rules.
I'm just wondering what the rule is because you said no phone or computer. But I mean, you've got smart devices in there that are just audio. So I mean, if you want to listen to an audio book, I suppose you can use it that way. But you know, I'm a big music fan. I'm always looking for new music. So I mean, I like to find that and listen to it. So
I like exactly what Barb says. She goes, "Do what we did when we didn't have technology. Read." You can watch TV, that is technology, but read, go outside, enjoy nature.
Mm-hmm.
Ben says, challenge accepted. Yeah, I'm with you, Ben. I would be fine. Like I said, if I had to work, you know, that Monday morning, I'd be behind on finding topics, but I'm interesting enough that you guys don't have to worry about that.
I make you seem interesting.
That's probably true. You pull the best out of me, Jace. Thank you for that. Mark says maybe he'd finally get some sleep. Yeah, for some people, their phone is fine, yeah. You know, constantly going off, whether phone calls or text messages from people.
Mm-hmm.
Dave in Grand Rapids would not be a happy man. Down a computer, had to buy a new one. It's being sent out. He'd lose his phone. It would be his only communication.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I said, we were just talking the other day. A lot of times you don't remember people's phone numbers because once you put it in your phone, you never have to look it up again. All you got to do is look up that person's name and you can call them.
Yeah, and I've thought this over a few, and you brought it up the other day, and then I rethought about it, but I've thought about it many times. I really should memorize all three of my kids' phone numbers.
Yeah, I should.
I know one of them, but I don't know whose it is. It's one of the girls.
Well, at least you know. All I know is my oldest daughter's phone starts 701, then the first three numbers of her phone, and then the last four, don't know. And I think Jaden's phone number starts with a 9 or something. I don't know.
I just punched in the one that I know. It's Carly in Chicago. Should I call her now? She wouldn't be happy with me.
No. 5:45 in the morning. Yeah.
Zara sleeps till
8:30. What are you waking me up for?
Oh, and that's the kid that would do exactly that. I texted her yesterday. I'm like, how come Zara hasn't sent me any pictures lately? She's, you know, 9 months old now. Yeah. So then I get it.
Why doesn't she have her own phone?
Yeah, exactly.
To talk to grandma.
Isn't she adorbs?
I know she is.
She's always got her little tongue out. Her little tongue is always moving. And she's like the happiest little baby. She was out for a stroller ride. Nice. She's got her arms open wide and her tongue's hanging out. She's just got a big smile. She's living life good. And I keep reminding them, too, to, you know, be careful. The measles cases are spreading across the country. I mean, haven't heard of any rash or spike up here, but nonetheless, because until you're one, they can't get that measles shot, too.
The other thing, too, is especially for maybe adults, I thought I read an article, or I should say, I saw a headline that says there, I don't know if there's some research that points to it or if it's a fact, so I don't know which it is, but something about how if you get measles, that can kind of reset your immune system. So maybe you're not immune to maybe say something like chicken pox or anything you've been vaccinated for. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't want to get it.
This is the dumbest thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as a baby, I'm vaccinated for measles.
Mm-hmm.
And what's
mumps
and
rubella.
MMR. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eighth grade.
Yeah.
Had severe case of the measles. I never remember, and I'll always remember, it's like my eyes were just glued shut. It's disgusting. There was like a few of us on the basketball team ended up with measles. Okay, so eighth grade had measles, sick for like 10 days, I want to say, out of school. And then when I was pregnant, they said I wasn't immune from measles, so then I had to get a shot. It's like, how could I have been vaccinated as a baby, had bad measles in eighth grade, and then when I was pregnant, you tell me I'm not protected from measles, so I had to get another shot? Yeah. How weird is that?
That's very weird. It's kind of like they gave you the vaccine, and your body was like, nah, I'm not going to use this.
Must pass. Be or something. It's like, how could, and because I said, I had measles pretty bad.
And for the weird part is, though, is that like when you're in the hospital, they can test and know if you've got the antibodies from either getting the vaccine or having whatever. Because I know that when I was in the hospital, they were like, well, you know, you need to get this vaccination, this one and this one, and then this one if you haven't had it. And it was the old, what is it, hepatitis B or C, whichever one you get when you work in a health type of care environment, right?
Yeah.
And so they were looking in my North Dakota records to try and find if I had ever been vaccinated for, because I told them I thought I was. Well, of course, I'm in Minnesota. They're looking at North Dakota records. I've only been in North Dakota now for, 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
The other, you know, 21-plus years, or probably 24-ish or 25, I was in South Dakota. So I got the vaccine when I worked at a nursing home. And so I finally remember that, like, oh, we were looking in state of North Dakota because they have, you know, immunization records for the state. And I'm like, oh, no, this was when I was worked in a nursing home in South Dakota. I'm like, oh, well, that's why we couldn't find it. But they did a test and they could tell I had the antibodies for it. So they could tell I was vaccinated for it.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But it's one of those things where now that I've got medical records at three different hospitals, everyone, you know, is like sending me a notification. You need to get updated with your hepatitis B shot. And I'm like, I don't have to get that. It would all pull into a national database. It's like if you got to tell more to look. And I didn't realize that they were looking in the wrong state.
Yeah.
They just assumed I'd spent my entire life here.
Yeah, well,
it's not a terrible assumption.
For, well, and two, like, there's a lot of people here from the region where you might live on the Minnesota side, but likely if you were born and raised here, you were born in Fargo at one of our hospitals, you know, so it's a little bit different thing.
Well, it's even as something as simple as trying to get information on a certain health insurance claim. And I'm a North Dakota resident, so you'd think you would always go through Blue Cross, Blue Shield of North Dakota. Mm-hmm. I mean, my insurance plan is, quote unquote, a national plan because I was a federal employee, right? Well, turns out if I have, you know, charges and claims while I was in the hospital at Abbott Northwestern, those went through Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Minnesota, not North Dakota. So my first thing is to call the number on the back of the card. Well, that sends you across town here to Blue Cross, Blue Shield of North Dakota, and they're like, we don't have anything for that claim number. I'm like, oh, was it done in Minnesota? Oh, yeah, so you got to call those guys. And then this time, oh, we'll transfer you down there. And you're like, oh, now I got to deal with two Blue Cross Blue Shields.
Why would the insurance industry want to make our lives any easier? Right?
That's true. I mean, it's never easy. I mean, don't get me started on dental insurance, man. Oh, my goodness.
What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That is our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments. Son or Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Facebook page. Melanie says, enjoy the peace and quiet. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Joel.
Hi, Joel. How are you this morning?
Pretty good.
Is this Joel from down in St. Louis Park, is it?
Yeah.
Got a pretty good memory, don't I, Joel?
You sure do.
How are you this morning?
Not too bad. I want to wish the Spud Boys basketball good luck next week at the state tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. Yeah, we're super excited for that. We took the hockey title, and now we're looking for a basketball title.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It was a nice win last night from what I was hearing on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, that they were, I wouldn't say a heavy underdog, but they were definitely the underdog going against St. Michael Albertville. They were a good team. I think Big Game James told me last night he was expecting that if it was a good game for the Spuds, they might have lost by 8-10, but they found a way to pull off the upset. So they're headed back to state for, I'm not sure when the last time they were there is, but it's been probably a season or two at minimum. So congratulations to the Spuds, and they get to move on to state.
Right. Yeah, good luck to them.
Oh, that's nice. Do you have any Moorhead connections, Joel?
My cousins are up there, and my dad's sister and brother is up there.
Okay. All right. Well, that's nice of you to be cheering for the team. We sure appreciate the support.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. The question of the morning before we let you go, what would you do if you didn't have your phone or computer for a whole weekend?
Oh, hopefully have the family over and play cards.
Yep. Keep yourself busy with family. There you go. Joel, you have yourself a fantastic weekend.
You too.
You bet. Yeah, it doesn't sound like the city should get hammered by the snow. It's mainly Red River Valley and western parts of into central Minnesota, too. I don't know, Fergus Falls, Alexandria, cut off. Dino working on the weather right now as we speak, and he will be in about 15 minutes, a little less here, with more details on our forecast. What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I love it. Bonnie says go fishing.
Not this weekend, she lives on the lake.
Summer fish. I think she's more of a summer fisher.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, fishing. Yeah, that would keep you entertained and hopefully feed you later in the day if you have luck fishing.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, we're checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. .555 Welcome into Fri-yay. Absolutely gorgeous day on tap for us. It's crazy how it can be so nice today. 67 for the high, and then boom, things change tonight with rain, winds, snow developing tomorrow, late tonight into tomorrow, potentially looking for blizzard conditions all across the Red River Valley, parts of west central and central Minnesota. That's, I guess, what did Dean say? Welcome to spring, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
When does spring actually start? Sometime in April, I would say? Or is it March?
Is it next week? Because it's every 3 months. And,
oh, it is March. Yeah. Okay, March, Thursday. Yeah, next Thursday.
Yeah. So it'd be the 20th, right?
Yes, at 4:01 a.m. Don't celebrate any earlier than 4:01 a.m. I don't know why they always have to put a time on it. That's dumb.
Nah, I don't know.
Dean will come in and say, it's not dumb. This is July. But right? Like, first day of spring. Woohoo!
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to feel like it, though. Just low to mid-30s is what we're going to see all next week.
Oh, fun.
I'm going to peek to see if he's got anything new on the website right now. He's still
nothing.
Working.
Nothing.
Oh, it looks like Tuesday too. There's some flurries there in addition to, but no, it's still 67 is what he has for today.
Yeah, well, that's good for today.
Yeah.
Next week, back to reality.
Yeah. 26 Saturday, 27 Sunday, and then about the mid 30s Monday through Thursday is as far as I can see on WDAYRadioNow.com.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, don't forget, Dino's going to be on TV on Sunday night, Valley
That's
News
right.
Live.
I know.
He's doing the 9 o'clock and the 10 o'clock weather, Valley News Live, our new partners here.
Yeah.
And they asked Dino to fill in because they were short of people, so that's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I won't stay up.
No, neither will I.
It's hard when the Timberwolves try to keep me up late for 9 o'clock games. But I've seen Dean. I've seen videos of him doing his TV thing. He's just very good at his job, whether he's doing radio or he's doing TV. But it'll be cool. I mean, that's awesome. Good for him. As long as he doesn't leave us to go over there permanently. We're not letting him. They probably wouldn't want him.
No,
he's our problem, and
yeah,
we love
exactly.
him.
Yeah, exactly. They'll get enough of him this weekend. So
yeah, I hope he behaves. I told him that, didn't I, yesterday when he was walking. It's like, don't do anything naughty. Like, behave, would you?
Don't get kicked out of there.
When you're, 50-whatever-year-old man and you need to be told by a backup mom that you need to behave.
You need to behave yourself on the television.
Exactly. Or it'll be the last time they ask you to do the weather. What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Lawn Man says he'd probably bounce back into sanity. It is. I mean, like, if you're on your phone sometimes, it gets kind of frenetic at times, I would imagine.
I'm sure, yeah.
Just depending on who you are and who's texting you or calling you. I don't like phone calls. I did answer my phone. It was Trucker Al yesterday. I hate talking on the phone, but I like Trucker Al, so I talked to him. It was right when Dean was on with Jay Thomas, so I kind of had a half a ear on the radio, but obviously I was listening to Al more so.
Yeah.
But I think Dean made it, as the kids would say when they were a little, worser when it came to our snow amounts.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because obviously early November and even through December, I mean, I had messages from people that, not that I don't talk to, and it's not that I don't want to, but a lot of people wanted to reach out, and there are so many messages to go through and so many people to thank.
Are they still on your voicemail, a lot of them?
No, I've saved a lot of the text messages because...
Did you save the ones from me?
Well, you've got so many text messages that I'd have to scroll all the way up to try and get back to
That's true, too. But I tried to keep you occupied and busy during off time. Like, I knew that, your mom and dad and your wife had gone, to sleep, obviously, at the hotel room. So in the hours that I keep. So I tried to just to make sure that you were in right headspace and you were being occupied.
Yep. And I was. And so it was, a lot of people, just would – say something. They would text me, like, I've gone through some that I have on my phone, and I'm like trying to kind of clean out some of them because obviously they do take up storage space on your phone, etc. And you're looking at them and you're just thankful all these people respond, but at the same time you're just like, wait a minute, they sent that message on October 29th, the day after everything happened. So you're kind of looking at it and you're just like, you have to reread it because it's not like you memorized it or anything. So you're just like, oh, that was very nice of them. So,
well, you are loved.
I know.
We
exactly.
were all worried, very, very worried and concerned for you. All right, Dino is in shortly, 6 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 6:02, the man everybody wants to hear from for a change is here.
Yeah, for a change. thanks for ironing that one out.
You are the most important man in the room. Well, you're the only man in the room at the moment. moment because Jace walked out. But
some of my ex would argue with that, but that's another day.
No, but I mean, we're relying on you to let us know what's going on because it's the weekend. A lot of people travel for the weekend.
Yeah, well, don't on Saturday.
We're still sticking with don't travel. Okay.
Yeah, it's travel's going to be difficult. We've got winter storm watches posted across most of the area now. Those will be upgraded to warnings. Now, for what exact areas is the big question. This storm is really leaning towards, we're right on the edge. And when I say we, up and down the valley, you go 20 miles west of the valley, 30 miles west of the valley, and there's really not going to be much.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go into Lakes Country, and that looks to be the target zone.
Okay.
So there's going to be near blizzard conditions, most likely east of the valley. I think we'll experience blizzard conditions here in the FM area, but it's going to be for a short enough window. And when I say short enough window, probably only a couple hours in the morning.
Okay.
Where, see, blizzard warnings have to be issued for certain criteria. One of those criteria is you get these conditions for 3 hours or more.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if we're going to be quite there. It's going to be close. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a blizzard warning will be issued. Now, whether the FM area is included, we'll see. Whether we're under a warning, a watch, an advisory, it's going to get ugly tomorrow morning. There's that we know. To the extent, the worst is going to be off into Lakes Country.
Okay.
And let's say on a line from International Falls through about DL and down towards Sioux Falls. That'll be the corridor of about a 50-mile wide band.
What
of
about
the heaviest
on the
snow.
94 corridor? So Fergus Falls, Alexandria?
Yes, yeah, that'll be included, yeah.
Okay.
So if you're planning on traveling down to the cities tomorrow,
okay.
No, don't even bother.
Okay.
Don't even bother. So the here and now, though, we're 50 degrees. It's a beautiful start to the morning.
Wow.
And temperature is south wind of 16. Temperatures in the mid to upper 40s to near 50 across much of the area. 51 in Moorhead. Walk-on, you're at 50. Euland's at 46 and Wahpeton's at 47. We're looking at a mild day today with highs in the upper 60s with southeast winds at 10 to 20 under partly cloudy skies. It's really going to feel like spring, so get out and enjoy today. Now, we'll see rain developing tonight. Timing on this, we'll more than likely going to see rain come into the area after about 8, 9 o'clock tonight. Could see an embedded rumble of thunder with that. That will carry us through midnight. Okay, so 9 through midnight, 1 in the morning, right around there, we're all rain. From about 1 to 5, here's what's killing our snowfall. From 1 to 5, we're going to see a wintry mix of sleet, rain, snow, maybe some freezing rain mixed in there. And then from about 6 to 11 a.m., it's going to be all snow here in the FM area.
Okay.
Now, as you go into Lakes Country, those effects will last through probably 3, 4 in the afternoon. So we'll be done with our snow here in the FM area probably by lunchtime, by around noon, the way it looks right now. And then that kind of lingers for a while longer, 3, 4 more hours out in Lakes Country. Total snowfall, it's such a sharp cutoff. I'm looking at 1 to 4 here in the FM area.
Okay.
Okay. 3 to 5 as you get into eastern Clay County. And then 5 to 7, 5 to 8 inches as you get a little deeper into Lakes Country. So that it gradually goes up. And you go just east of the valley or west of the valley and an inch or less. So we're literally right on that kind of dividing. And a lot of this is going to be dependent, again, on that 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Time frame after midnight tonight. If we switch over to snow sooner, if cold air gets sucked into this, we get switch over sooner, then our totals will be higher. But it just doesn't – all models are favoring that this stays a wintry mix for a little longer than we were thinking yesterday. So that's kind of how it's panning out. Highs only in the 20s tomorrow. We're still looking at very windy conditions out of the northwest, 30 to 45 and gusting over 50. And then the rest of the weekend, Sunday looks quiet with temperatures right around 30 degrees. So, yeah, again, if you have any travel plans tomorrow, keep up to date on the forecast. Just hold off any travel tomorrow.
Yeah. Leave today, come back Sunday.
Yeah, that's the best advice you could give.
So even if we only get an inch, half inch, whatever it may be here in
I'm leaning on about 1 to 3, 1 to 4 here.
Okay.
And, in the FM area.
And the winds, though, are going to create.
Winds, yes. Even with an inch, 2 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, and we'll have that period, that 3 hour period of high wind, 3 to 4 hours of where winds could gust close to 50. And that would be, from about 7 a.m. through about noon, where we'll see our highest winds here in the valley.
We're starting as rain, freezing rain, strong winds. Is there any potential for power lines to get coated,
no.
galloping lines? We don't have to worry about that with the winds and the rain.
Well, with the high winds, possibly, yeah. I'm not worried about a whole lot of ice accumulation.
Okay.
The ground temperatures are pretty warm. On like power lines or windshields, stuff like that, then you could have some ice accumulation. On roadways, I'm not too worried about it. With the ground temperatures being so warm.
I just wonder about power outages when you get, you know, the coated lines.
Yeah.
And you get 50 mile an hour winds. Yeah. It causes galloping. It'll cause outages.
Possibly. Yeah, that is a possibility. So.
Okay.
It's a, you know, your typical spring storm, but it doesn't look like we're going to get the heaviest snow here in the FM area. So if that means, if it makes you feel any better, warm and fuzzy.
Well, at least it's kind of like overnight, early morning, you know, whatever.
When people are sleeping.
Well, except for Bonnie. But that's okay.
It's a weekend tomorrow.
I know, but I got to keep an eye on this stuff for everybody. I'll
oh,
be up wide awake, drinking my coffee, cleaning my house, doing laundry, saying, wow, I'm glad. The bathroom fan's going to be a flapping. The whirly birds on the roofs are going to be going around and around.
Man. But yeah, it's so watch for these watches to be upgraded to warnings sometime this afternoon. There was still a little uncertainty on... the reason they don't have warnings issued yet this morning is because are the high winds going to coincide where the heaviest snow is going to fall? And the heaviest snow is going to fall in the Lakes Country, and the highest winds are going to be just behind that, just west of that. So it doesn't matter. It's going to be ugly tomorrow. Again, whether we're under an advisory watch warning, just I would not be traveling tomorrow through early afternoon. By evening, things should get a little better here in the FM area, but in the Lakes Country, it's still going to be kind of messy.
Yeah, if you don't want to deal with it, go west. Go to Valley City. Go to Jamestown.
See,
out of town.
There you go. That's the best. Good advice, Bonnie. I like it.
Spend some money. All the small businesses will love you.
See, there you go.
You're looking very handsome today. Like you should be on TV or something like that. Sunday night, baby.
Sunday night.
It's
been 5 years. This could be a little rusty. This could be funny.
Good. I've seen videos.
This could be funny.
You're good at that. So 9 and 10.
Wait, you've seen videos of me?
Well.
Okay.
Some are inappropriate.
Those videos.
I was talking about the weather videos. But 9 and 10 o'clock, Sunday night, Valley News Live. Very cool.
Should be fun.
Let them steal you. You're ours. You know that.
I'm not going anywhere.
They'll probably wrap you up and bring you back. Like, here we had him. You guys can have him back.
He is the problem
child.
Get him. He's only been here a day. He's already a problem.
I know.
Yeah, don't do anything naughty.
I won't.
All right, question of the morning. What would you do if you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend?
That's called the beach.
Find something to do outside.
That's called laying on the beach. Yeah. It'd be so nice.
Just to unplug from everything.
Mm-hmm. That's mentally health-wise. That's good to do.
It sure is.
Just that's called the beach. Mm-hmm. That's called going to Jamaica or some remote island where they don't have cell service, mm-hmm. and you're being served. Bacardi and diets by bikini clad women, and the women are being served their mixed drinks by men in Speedos. And
Dean, wake up. Shh.
You asked what I do without my phone. That's what I do without my phone.
He went down a whole rabbit hole.
It's Dino. That's our Dino. 6:11, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then big game, James McCarty has your WDAY radio sports. 6:14, big game. James McCarty's in the house. Good morning to you, Jimmy.
Good morning. It was a wild night in sports last night. I mean, the Wild, we'll get that out of the way. They fall to the Rangers in overtime 3-2. They're 37-25-4. They get a crack at the Blues of the X on Saturday night. But high school basketball last night, the boys' Section 8 4A championship game, 2-seeded Moorhead takes down number 1-seeded St. Michael Albertville in a thriller, 59-58. The Spuds now punch their ticket to the state tournament in Minnesota, which takes place for the boys next week, next Thursday through Saturday, the 20th through the 22nd of March. The Spuds in the preseason poll were projected to finish last in the section.
Oh, wow.
They got the 2-seed and fought their way all the way through to the state tournament. So congratulations
That's
to
awesome.
Them. They'll find out Saturday who their opponent is, what seed they get, and what time they'll play Thursday in that state tournament next week. As for the Class 2A Boys High School Basketball State Tournament in North Dakota, the East top seed West Fargo High over West Ford Dickinson 82-55. The East 3 seed Fargo Davies defeated and edged out West 2 Bismarck High. by a score of 80-77, and then the West schools win the two nightcaps with top seeded out of the West Bismarck Century over East 4, Fargo North 88-69, and West 3 Mandan defeated East 2 Grand Forks Red River 83-71. The semifinals today for the boys, you'll have West Fargo against Fargo Davies at 6:30. That coverage will be right here on WDAY Radio with Steve Hallstrom on the call as Jason and I jump ship later on this morning to head to Topeka. Then the nightcap will be Bismarck Century against Mandan. So you're guaranteed an East versus West state championship game. I just it's drawn up a little bit differently, I think, than how the original seeds had everything looked out, which is part of why you play the darn ball games,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
In the girls' state two-way quarterfinals, you had East number one seed West Fargo Horace over West 4 Bismarck Legacy 73-59. West 2 seed edged out the East 3, so Mandan over Red River 58-57. Top seed out of the West Bismarck Century defeated Shanley, the East 4, in a tight one 59-54. And West 3, Minot High, edged out East 2, Fargo Davies, 65-59. The girls' semifinals begin at 1 o'clock at the Fargo Dome today with West Fargo Horace against Mandan, and then at 3 o'clock, Bismarck Century against Minot High. So Horace, the lone team left out of the East, trying to make some excitement happen, some fireworks in their third year of varsity athletics. PGA Tour, the Players' Championship began yesterday, and is there in Florida this weekend. Lucas Glover, J.J. Spahn, and Camilo Villegas are all tied for the lead at 6 under par. There were a few guys that did not finish their opening round as darkness ended up suspending play late. And so golfers begin teeing off here in about a half hour their second rounds. Tom Hoge currently tied for 47th. He finished his first round at 1 under par. He'll tee off his second round at about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Timberwolves welcome the Orlando Magic to the Target Center tonight. Tip off at 7 o'clock. Minnesota is on a 6-game winning streak, and the Wolves currently sit at 38-29 on the season. The Magic are 31-36. North Dakota men's hockey at Omaha this weekend. The NCHC quarterfinals is a best of three. Both Friday and Saturday, the puck will drop at 7 o'clock for games 1 and 2. If necessary, game 3 would be Sunday at 6 p.m. The Forest are going to host the Muskegon Lumberjacks tonight at 7:05, tomorrow at 6:05. And as I had mentioned, we have a high school basketball tonight on WDAY Radio, as you have at 6:30, Steve Hallstrom again with the West Fargo versus Fargo Davies boys semifinal matchup. As well, Saturday night, he'll have the girls' championship at 6, the boys' championship at 8 p.m., coverage of that. Over on our sister station, the Flag, NCAA Central Region quarterfinals on Saturday afternoon. Two-seeded MSUM Dragon men's basketball against 7-seeded Fort Hays State. 2 p.m. pregame, 2:30. Tip off, you're going to hear from head coach Tim Bergstrasser. You'll hear from the star-studded freshman phenom Carson Johnson as well. And Jason and I will go as far as the Dragons will take us here this weekend.
I've got a friend. I basically told the boss he has to hang out with me potentially through Wednesday of next week. He's really excited.
That's all right. I was talking with Addison the last couple of days, and I was like, hey, did I ask you if you can possibly cover next week? He goes, no, why? I said, okay, I'll text you Sunday. I said, Sunday I'm either going to tell you, hey, I'll be back Monday or good.
Yeah.
Or, hey, can you cover it through Wednesday and I'll bring you in a case of Mountain Dew. We'll pretend like nothing happened. She'd go, yeah, just let me know. I'll figure it out. I'll show up. It's fine. And I was like, perfect. Thank you.
It's nice to know we have friends.
He's a super trooper is what he is.
He is. Addison's awesome. I don't know if you guys, he's behind the scenes more so, but you'll hear Addison talking on the air too. But he's a very competent show producer for a lot of
He
shows.
Does all kinds. Yeah, he produces WAG here on WDAY Radio. He does all of Larry Knutson's Spuds.
Yep.
Athletic stuff.
And they do the Steve Hallstrom show.
Yep, he does the Steve Hallstrom show over on the Flag. He does a bunch of the show archiving. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a vital part of this.
Backbone. We need a guy like him.
He's a vital part of this entire machine that we have that we try and keep well-oiled. And sometimes we rust a little bit. Sometimes we're a little too well-oiled.
Things slide out of place.
A lot of times.
We're so well oiled that parts are starting to fly off the machine because we're moving a little bit, maybe too quick.
No, but it'll be good. And go Dragons. And the boys will be gone, but we've got plans in place. And I've got a friend, and Addison will be helping out in the background too, where and when needed. Question of the morning, what would you do if you didn't have your phone or computer for a whole weekend? More responses on our Facebook page. Lori says, read, crash, bar hop, and sell raffle tickets, of course. How is that any different, Crash?
Crash must have lost his phone.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Heather would relax. Mark, finally get some sleep, probably. Milt would enjoy the silence. Daryl, relax. Jimmy, okay, now, I know you're really a 47-year-old man, but you claim to only be like 20,
allegedly
26.
Okay.
If you did not have your phone or computer for a whole weekend, what would you do?
Oh, be
what would you do?
It'd would you be okay?
Tremendous. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Are you kidding
me? Yeah, because you're an outdoors guy. Yeah, you probably hunt or fish.
Yeah, we'd be fishing or hunting or something of sorts, and whichever of the hoodlums I bring with me would actually focus long enough to shoot at a duck then.
Maybe.
Well, if they don't have a phone in front of them, I mean, all they're going to be able to do, they have two options, sleep or hunt.
Yeah.
And
I know which one you would choose.
Yeah.
They would choose sleep. They just want to
Maybe this would be a bad idea. Maybe we're more engaged with our phones.
I was going to say, what would your Tide Pod eating generation do? Don't you think most of them would combust?
She's coming off the top rope.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Yeah, boom, look
Bonnie
out.
With the atomic elbow drop.
They shouldn't make them look like a fruit cup.
I think you would be okay, but don't you think your generation would really have a hard time with no phone or computer?
I would, honestly, I would love to see it. Like, I don't know if we can make it happen or anything, you know, Mr. Kramer or something. We just, you know, just if you pulled the grid, we probably would have a societal chaotic, you know, burnt meltdown. But if we could just try like that. 18 to 30.
Yeah.
Just flip it for a couple, not even a couple days. Like, just flip it for like 60 minutes.
They would be.
I want to see what happens outside of this office.
Have you seen what happens when one of these social media apps goes down for an hour or
two? Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Instagram
or
Facebook. Well, the funny thing is, you can't get to Facebook.
Well, go grocery shop then. Go wash your car.
You can't get to
Facebook. Vacuum the dang living room.
You can't get to Facebook, so then you go to Twitter and then check it. It's like, oh, yeah, Facebook's down. You're like, oh, okay, so it's not my phone. That's my whole thing, is that I worry that it's my phone is acting up again.
Yeah. Pick up a book, read, go for a walk.
Oh, my goodness. The amount of people my age, like when I, whatever, right? I go to MSUM early. I'm at the doctor's office. Whichever.
Yeah.
And I pull out a physical copy of a book or a newspaper.
Yeah.
You would think that they thought that I was on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You're right.
Reading a book. Where is your Kindle?
Kindle?
Have you ever seen a physical book before? It's way, way better to
They've
read.
Got, like,
less
pages
stress
of,
on your eyes,
pages
man.
Pages of paper and stuff, you know?
I stare at monitors all day long. The last thing I want to do in my personal time is stare at a screen longer than I have to, and I'm already addicted to about a dozen television shows, so I might as well read a physical copy of a book.
And you are good at that because you take your little breaks in your office, and I see James. He's either reading books.
Usually
or,
has a couple of books
newspaper.
On the desk.
Yeah.
On the desk.
I'm about
that
a week
go
behind
to.
On the outdoor news newspaper, so I got to get that ready.
Yeah,
before
exactly.
We roll out of town in a couple hours here.
Mike, our friend from Northwood, who's been in the Philippines all winter long, doing a little
traveling,
being a tourist. Mike, where are you?
Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah, I saw you on Facebook with a snake wrapped around your neck. I don't even think you and I can be friends anymore. Ick.
Well, Lonnie says she hates snakes too. So.
You're a brave man.
But I told you before, that thing was so friendly that.
No, thank you.
You know, they told us, you know, how to hold it. You know, you have your hand flat, let it just sit there and around your neck, and it just kind of looked around and.
It was bad enough the guy from the Sportsman Show shoved an alligator in my hands when I told him no, I would die like right there on the spot with a snake. Well, how was Vietnam?
It was very interesting. Yesterday we went on a 4-hour bus tour of Ho Chi Minh City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Saigon during the war. And when the two countries got together, they changed it to Ho Chi Minh City, being the leader of North Vietnam. It's a very beautiful city, beautiful and clean. My gosh, I couldn't believe how clean it is and the architecture and some of the buildings. But it's hotter than Philippines. It was 95 yesterday. It was about 93, 94 today.
And humid, I imagine.
Today,
Oh, ick.
Today we went on a tour of the Mekong Delta.
Wow.
Which I guess was a very high battle spot during the war.
Uh-huh.
They said there's another area we could have gone on where the North Vietnamese had tunnels built. And they had miles and miles and miles of tunnels They lived under there. They had a hospital under there. They had stores. And our tour guide said at one time there were 16,000 Viet Cong living underground.
Wow. Did you do like a boat tour? Or they've got like gondolas over there too, I'm seeing as I Googled it really quick. Have you done any of that?
But we took a bus to Mekong Delta, and that's about a two-hour bus ride. And then we got on a motorboat, which went across the main part of the river, which is, I don't know, a mile wide to an island. Then we got on a rowboat. You'll see there's pictures there. There's four tourists, and there's two people rowing it. And that went for 2 miles to our first stop. And then we had another a smaller boat that we went to. We had like four or five different stops.
Hmm.
And then our last stop was there's some big, huge, beautiful, Buddhism is very big there.
Buddha, yeah.
And there's a very huge, I don't know if it's a chapel or what. We stopped there for about a half hour. There's some pictures I think Lonnie got posted. And that too, it's just the architecture that they have used here. A lot of it, as they said, is French. Because it was French, Vietnam. France controlled Vietnam before the war back in the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
So.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic trip. And I love just, you know, hearing from you because you're teaching us things, too, that everybody might not know. So thanks for calling in, Mike, and thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it.
Well, you guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week when we're back in the Philippines somewhere.
You bet, and safe travels to you. It is 6:28, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Flatland Music Flashback. That's coming up about 6:56 this morning. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo. Choose from a huge variety of guitars for beginners to awesome guitar upgrades. Today, we're going to be showcasing an artist who was supposed to be performing in St. Paul, but he had an attack of bleeding ulcers, had to cancel a 60-day tour. He is the only 3-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you will find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming up right around 6:56. We will be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center. Get your news coming up next. 6:31, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Today is going to be a nice day, but boy, tomorrow will not be. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now to break it all down. The boys are finding food around the studio.
What did James say? It's like a fat kid heaven in the break room.
I told him there's food left over from our event last night.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Well, today's a quiet before the storm. So, if, you know, rush out and get all your eggs and, like you said,
bread and milk.
Yeah, it's only going to be a day of bad weather. Yeah, chill out.
It's going to last. It's going to last the rest of time.
Right. Now, we didn't quite hit a record yesterday. We were just shy of it. But today, I think we're gonna come pretty darn close. Record high for today is 68, and that's what I'm calling for, is 68 for a high today. It's going to be a nice day. A little breezy, southeast 10 to 20, under partly cloudy skies. Then Armageddon hits. No, it's not good.
Megastorm.
We'll get through this. So,
Wysocki.
Here's the timing on the upcoming storm. We are under a winter storm watch across the entire area, and highly likely this will be upgraded to some type of warning. East of the valley into Lakes Country. It may include the valley as well. The National Weather Service is holding off on, it appears to be until our morning model runs come in, and that should be by 10, 11 o'clock this morning. Those should be in to get a better handle on this. But we're looking at a time frame of about 9 o'clock tonight through midnight, 1 in the morning, we'll have rain. And this will be spreading in from the south. And then by about 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., we're going to see a wintry mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain, all that garbage. And then about 6 a.m. to about 11 a.m., we're going to have snow and some of that heavy. And that time frame is for here in the FM area. As we head into Lakes Country, that snow will be going through afternoon, through about mid to late afternoon. Now, the heaviest snow right now looks to be lining up from about International Falls through Detroit Lakes and down somewhere between Wahpeton and Elbow Lake. That will be the band of heaviest snow where 6 to 10 inches of snow could fall to our west. So that looks like a pretty high certainty there. Our key here in the FM area on how much snow we get is that 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. time frame. As we're looking at that wintry mix, that kills snowfall totals. Now, if it switches over sooner, then our snowfall totals will be higher here in the FM area. So if you wake up, Bonnie, at 5 a.m.
Yep.
And there's no snow on the ground, you can say, that short Pollock was spot on. And you know what? We might only get about 1 to 3 inches of snow. If you wake up at 5 a.m. and the ground is covered in white, then you know
we're getting hammered.
Yeah, then we're probably going to get probably closer to 3 to 6. But I'm thinking 1 to 3 here in the FM area. And the further east you can go into eastern Clay, and you're probably looking at about 3 to 5 there. So 1 to 3, 3 to 5, and then you're getting into deeper into Lakes Country, and you're looking at probably 5 to 8, 5 to 9, somewhere around there. So that's the time frame on this for tonight into tomorrow. And then by tomorrow evening, this thing pulls off to the east. Still be breezy, but after highs in the 20s, that's it. Upper 60s today, mid-20s tomorrow, and then right around 30 on Sunday. So all in all, not a bad it could be worse. And it's not going to be pretty around here tomorrow morning, trust me. So if you have any travel plans for tomorrow, just hold them off till Sunday. That's the best advice.
Leave today, come back Sunday.
Leave today, come back Sunday. That's the best advice.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
635 WDAY Radio. Keep it tuned right here for the latest weather developments. Right now, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network. And Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 641, another busy week, another busy weekend in the sports world. Big Game James McCarty has a check on your sports.
High school basketball last night, boys section 8-4A championship basketball. The two-seeded Moorhead Spuds edged out top-seeded St. Michael Albertville 59-58. Spuds are now going to be in the March 20th through 22nd state tournament. They find out tomorrow, late morning, who their opponent will be, what seed they'll get, and what time they'll play on Thursday, the 20th. In boys class 2A state tournament quarterfinals action in North Dakota, you had West Fargo over Dickinson 82-55 last night. Fargo Davies edged out Bismarck High 80-77. Bismarck Century over North 88-69. And Mandan defeated East Grand Forks 83-71. Semifinals today for the boys will be late at 6:30. You'll have West Fargo and Fargo Davies. Steve Hallstrom on the call right here on WDAY Radio. And then the nightcap is Bismarck Century against Mandan 20 minutes after that one goes final. In the girls' state two-way quarterfinals, you had Horace over Bismarck Legacy 73-59. Mandan defeated Red River 58-57. Bismarck Century over Shanley 59-54. And Minot High edged out Fargo Davies 65-59. The early session will be the girls' semifinals today at 1 o'clock. West Fargo Horace gets Mandan. And then 20 minutes following that one, Bismarck Century squares off with Minot High. PGA Tour, the Players' Championship, Lucas Glover, J.J. Spahn, Camilo Villegas are all tied for the lead at 6-under par. Tom Hoge tied for 47th at 1-under. A couple of players still have to finish up their rounds beginning about right now here this morning, and then Hoge will tee off his second round about 1 o'clock this afternoon. The Wolves welcome the Orlando Magic to the Target Center tonight. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. The Wolves enter riding a 6-game winning streak, and they have a record of 38-29 on the season. This weekend, UND men's hockey at Omaha, the NCHC quarterfinals, a best-of-3 series. Tonight and Saturday night's games both have puck drop at 7 o'clock, and if necessary, Game 3 would be a 6 o'clock puck drop on Sunday night. And over on our sister station, The Flag, NCAA Central Region quarterfinals basketball Saturday afternoon as number 2-seeded MSUM men's basketball against number 7-seeded Fort Hays State. 2 o'clock pregame, you'll hear from head coach Tim Bergstrasser and freshman phenom guard Carson Johnson. Then the tip-off will be at 2:30 between the Dragons and Tigers for the right to go to the region semifinals on Sunday evening.
And Steve Carney Outdoors will be joining us coming up about 7:10 this morning talking fishing. But in the past, James, and you're a big hunter too, and you like to go after the ducks, both you and Steve have just like the duck numbers aren't there. I see there was a new report out from Ducks Unlimited, and they say at least 112 North American bird species have lost more than half their population over the past 50 years. The duck population among them, as well as they've got hummingbirds and warblers and blackbirds and stuff like that. But they say for several decades, waterfalls stood out as a conservation bright spot. Duck populations were growing nationwide. But now they say since 2017, the number of dabbling and diving ducks is down about 30% nationwide.
That much? 30%?
So, mm-hmm,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The amount of, I mean, time, effort, and resource they put into that, too, conservation-wise, of course, whether, I mean, you have your Ducks Unlimited, of course, that, that does what they do. I don't know if there's, I think that there's a fund. It's a wetland specific for, like, the southern U.S. around the Louisiana-ish areas with all the sloughs there and whatnot and over to Alabama and Georgia, things of those sorts. But, I mean, yeah, Pheasants Forever and all those different foundations, man, that's just... And the amount of backing and support they have, too, that's just, that's got to, whether it's, habitat or whichever,
that's
got to hopefully
say.
Be able to reverse that a little bit. Because I know that there are, there are definitely, as many people know, with logging, things of those sorts, very increased regulations in recent memory due to the nature of lost habitat and things
and,
of sorts.
And they even speak of here, the Prairie Pothole Region. You've heard of the Prairie Pothole Region.
Yep.
Ducks Unlimited says loss of grasslands habitat and a prolonged drought affecting the wetlands of the Great Plains Prairie Pothole Region have taken a toll among the waterfowl. Numbers are down 20% from 2014.
Man. Well, wherever there's a dip, there's always opportunity for recovery, right?
Hope so. Yeah.
We just hopefully have a little bit of a wetter season this year. It hopefully... You know, some people might not enjoy it. It might get a little sloppy, but, you know, I'm hopeful for a real wet, sloppy spring.
Yeah.
And that'll hopefully carry over into the summer months, and you have a good hatch, and hopefully it just slowly starts the recovery process.
Because, yeah, I think last year you were just saying you really weren't seeing much out there when you got out there to do hunting.
Yeah, I mean, that was, part of the bummer with some of it is, I mean, even some of the farmland and things of those sorts, it just seemed like they were kind of diverting to other areas just due to a little bit drier conditions, unfortunately, that we had in our neck of the woods. So
yeah, and we'll see what it does. I mean, we've got this potentially heavy precipitation here this Saturday, tomorrow. And then Dino saying, what, the LRC 42 days from now?
Yeah, like...
He said 42 days from now, we potentially could see a lot more.
Yeah, what is it, the end of...
April?
End of April then, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it'll be circling back around, you know, that whole storm system, but hopefully in April, obviously it's warmer and we're just getting rain. But, you know, Dina said it potentially could bring severe weather, which obviously you think thunderstorms, maybe a tornado or something like that. So,
but boy, if we can get some timely rains, not only for, you know, planting season, but for the duck habitat and bring those lake levels and sloughs and wetlands.
Yeah, even the last two winters, I mean, we've been substantially below the averages for snowfall.
Below,
And, you know, I mean, myself included up until recent memory, you know, not thinking much about, well, snowfall is the winter version of our precipitation, and, you know, that at some point melts and turns into runoff for nature, whether it's, you know, the trees or the sloughs or your grass or anything of those sorts. So when that's down, that already puts you behind the eight ball to start out the new year. So
you bet.
Yeah, hopefully we can recover from that.
Yeah, thanks, James. 647, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Flatland Music Flashback brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo. That'll be coming your way right around 656 today. We will be showcasing a musician who is the only three-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you will find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. Stand by. We'll be heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1971, this famous band left England for France to... avoid paying taxes. Find out who that was coming up next in Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
In 1971, the Rolling Stones left England for France to avoid paying taxes. They sold millions of records but were nearly broke and owed the British government hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes.
I think they've turned it around since
then.
Mick Jagger said they had to leave England to acquire enough money to pay the taxes because in those days in England, the high tax rate was 90%.
Yikes.
Wow. I would. You've got a friend in me.
You're just sitting there and there's no running.
I would,
How
though.
Dare you?
You call me, I'll come running.
Thought she was getting to the chorus there. My bad. 1972, Carole King won the Album of the Year Grammy for Tapestry, Record of the Year for It's Too Late, and Song of the Year for You've Got a Friend. King's Tapestry album topped the charts for 15 weeks and remained on the charts for 6 years.
She is the most successful female singer-songwriter of the latter half of the 20th century. She has written or co-written 118 pop hits. She's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
1981, Eric Clapton was hospitalized in St. Paul for an attack of bleeding ulcers. He had to cancel a 60-date U.S. tour. Clapton is the only three-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Once as a solo artist, separately as a member of Cream and the Yardbirds, Rolling Stone puts Clapton second on its list of greatest guitarists of all time, Jimi Hendrix being number one.
Ah.
As we both open or close one eye.
1982. Metallica made their live debut when they appeared at Radio City in Anaheim, California. Metallica formed in Los Angeles in 1981 when Danish-born drummer Lars Ulrich placed an ad in a newspaper.
It read, in part, drummer looking for other metal musicians to jam with. Guitarist James Hetfield and Hugh Tanner answered the ad.
In 1983, John Bon Jovi, his real name, Richie Sambora and Alec John Such formed Bon Jovi. Their fourth album, New Jersey, is notable for producing 5 top 10 singles, the most top 10 hits to date from a hard rock album, and they performed once on my birthday.
Oh, there you go. They have 4 number ones, 10 top 10s, and 25 songs that have made the Billboard Hot 100. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Still making music, too.
Yeah, they are.
You don't remember what day it was?
Saturday.
It was Saturday. You knew what day of the week it was. It wasn't at work, so it had to be a Saturday.
Exactly.
Having a birthday today. Forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, Bonnie. Walter Perezater.
Yep.
Of Chicago is 80. He was a founding member of the band. He retired from touring in 2017, which is a bummer because my folks will be seeing them perform live at Shields Arena in June.
They're still good.
Saturday in the Park hit number 3 in 1972.
If you're having a birthday today or any day this weekend, well, happy birthday to you too. Steve Carney Outdoors joining us in 10 minutes. Pay attention to the weather. Tomorrow is not going to be a good day for travel. In fact, don't even risk it. Do it today or Sunday. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along shortly with details. 7 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with important information on our changing forecast.
Yeah, we've got, this is just a dynamic storm. You're going to be hearing about a big severe weather outbreak with this storm Friday and Saturday, mainly tomorrow, but we're going to see some storms today in areas of southern Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, both today and tomorrow. So, a big severe weather outbreak to our south and east, and we're going to be dealing with rain, and we might even see a rumble of thunder here, but not for today. The daytime hours look good. Boy, I wonder if Leonard has any open tea times today. I'm guessing no. I'm guessing they're booked.
Give him a call.
We'll try.
Today, I can make myself available.
Today be a good day for that. We're looking for a near record high in the upper 60s today under partly cloudy skies. A little bit of a breeze out of the southeast at about 10 to 20. And then tonight we'll see rain pushing in after about 9 o'clock from the south. Might even see a rumble of thunder. That's not out of the question. So here's the timing on the precip tonight. From about 9 in the evening through midnight, we're going to see showers and a few thunderstorms. Then cold air quickly pulls into the system. And between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., we're going to see a wintry mix of sleet, freezing rain, snow, you name it. The kitchen sink, the bathroom sink, all that being thrown in between that 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. And again, I'm talking about right here in the FM area. This will still be rain in Lakes Country well after midnight. Now, from 6 a.m. till about 11 a.m. here in the FM area, this will all be snow. Here's the wild card in this storm. If that 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. time frame switches over to snow sooner, our snow amounts will be heavier here in the FM area. I'm not expecting that to happen, but there is about a 20 to 30% chance that does happen. And the higher snowfall totals are going to be in the Lakes Country. I don't want you to focus so much on the snowfall totals, but the winds with this are going to be 30 to 50 and gusty starting overnight tonight, probably from about 3, 4 a.m. through about 10 a.m., 11 a.m. tomorrow here in the valley. Those will be the strongest winds. They'll be windy all day, but those will be the strongest winds. So whether we get 1 to 3 inches, which is kind of what I'm leaning towards here in the FM area, or 6 to 9 inches, which they're going to get in the Lakes Country. Either one. I mean, it's still going to be difficult travel tomorrow morning into tomorrow afternoon. So alter your travel plans. And then by tomorrow night, things do start to improve. But temperatures tomorrow only in the 20s. So what we see fall is going to be sticking around. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be an icy, wintry mess for your Saturday. So just plan on that. And then Sunday, we quiet things down right around 30. And then it looks like we're in the 30s for most of next week. A little chance of a little light snow on Tuesday, but no big storms after this for a while. So that's good news there. Again, if you have any travel plans tomorrow, just alter them. Just, there's no reason. Again, and it's not the snowfall totals here in the FM area that are going to be impressive. It's the winds along with it that are going to create the problem.
All right. Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Don't forget, next week is National Ag Week. We're giving away a Farmer's Prayer Quilt to a deserving farm family. You can nominate a family at WDAYRadioNow.com. Look midway down the page for the National Ag Week banner there and nominate somebody to win that Farmer's Prayer Quilt. They have to be a farm family. And our winner will be announced next Friday on Weather and Ag Radio with Bridget and Dino. And thanks to Triple E Inc. online at EEEInc.com. 7:06 National News from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports and Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors joins us. We will talk about maybe putting that fishing gear away for the season and breaking out the spring stuff, because before you know it, it'll be spring fishing season. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors joining us shortly. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
State tournament basketball is just in full-fledged force at this point. I mean, that's the only way to put it. You had the boys' section 8-4A championship last night. Moorhead High, the 2-seed over St. Michael Albertville, the top seed, 59-58 by the slimmest of margins. The Spuds will now play in the state tournament March 20th through the 22nd. They find out their seed, their opponent, and what time they'll play next Thursday on Saturday morning. The North Dakota boys class 2A state tournament, you had West Fargo roll Dickinson in the quarterfinals, 82-55. Davies edged out Bismarck High, 80-77. Century over North, 88-69. And Mandan defeated Red River, 83-71. That sets up a couple of semifinals tonight. West Fargo High against Davies right here on WDAY Radio at 6:30 with Steve Hallstrom on the call. Then the nightcap will be Bismarck Century against Mandan for the right to go to the state championship tomorrow night. In the girls' bracket, you had in the quarterfinals West Fargo Horace over Bismarck Legacy, 73-59. Mandan defeated Red River, 58-57. Bismarck Century over Shanley, 59-54. And Minot High edged out Fargo Davies, 65-59. The girls' semifinals will be early at the Fargo Dome today, with Horace against Mandan at 1 o'clock and Century against Minot High at 3. And as well, we will have Saturday afternoon on our sister station, the Flag, Dragon Men's Basketball. The NCAA Central Region Quarterfinals, number 2-seeded MSUM, number 7-seed Fort Hays State, a 2 p.m. pregame with a 2:30 tip-off. Jason and I on the call live from Topeka, Kansas.
All right, go Dragons. Looking forward to it. 7:11, time now for Steve Carney Outdoors. Steve Carney Outdoors is brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail. You can find out more at autofixrepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I'm tired from setting the hook the last couple days out of the Missouri River. It was very, very good. I was so happy to be out on open water finally.
Nice. Were there a lot of people out there?
Oh, yeah. It's it almost doesn't matter what part of that system at this time of the year. I mean, there's people from Nebraska, Iowa, a lot of Iowa farmers that really got nothing to do right now, and they're not planting yet. So it was just loaded with them. But yeah, it's gotten increasingly crazier. Every year it gets a little bit, you know, heavier, but there's a lot of room on that river, and you can get away from people, too. But the big thing is trying to get a parking spot in the morning, which is the tough part. But it was great. The first day it was 42 degrees and 30-mile-an-hour winds, and it was very difficult. And the second day it was 72 and dead calm, and the fish were snapping all day long, so as we talked about before, it's all about hitting the weather properly out there. If you have a nice sunny day, you're going to catch fish. If it's overcast and kind of crummy out, it's going to be tough. So very hard to get two nice days in a row, you know, at this time of March and April out there. But if you can get one good full day, boy, it's just so fun.
I think you've had some ears perk up listening to you because Dino's saying, like, don't go east, don't travel tomorrow. But, yeah, honey, I'm going to go west. I'm going to the Missouri River. I need to do some fishing. Steve Carney says the fishing's good out there.
Well, I'll tell you, I looked at the long-term forecast here, and it's not very nice for, like, the next 10 days, 12 days. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be colder out there. It's going to shut them down a little bit, but once that rebounds, they're going to be spawning, and they're going to be up on the riprap rocks, and that's some of the best fishing of the year. So you just got to be patient. You know, it'll happen when the weather turns, but the next 10 days, boy, it didn't look very nice.
No. Steve, I know we've talked about it during the past couple fall seasons here. You're just like, man, the duck numbers are down. We're just not seeing them. I know I forwarded you an article yesterday. Ducks Unlimited has come out with information on just the number of ducks out there, the declining all across the U.S., including right here in the Great Plains Prairie Pothole region.
Well, yeah, this has been going on, Bonnie, for 25 years. This is nothing new. It's all about habitat. I mean, there's so many factors here. And, you know, our water quality, too, has really gone down the tubes in the last 20 years. You know, we never used to have blue-green algae, and now we do. And a lot of it is farm runoff and, you know, runoff from salt that's put on the roads, you know, in the winter that goes into the creeks. And you know, and a lot of the potholes have been, you know, bulldozed and, you know, been, you know, used for crop planting. And so we've lost tons of habitat coupled with, you know, poor water quality. That's, you know, you don't need to be a genius to figure that out. And it's been steadily declining ever since. And, you know, some people blame, you know, the weather. They're not, it's too wet or it's not wet enough. But, you know, they've had, you know, we've had this cycle of drought and heavy, you know, rain for centuries. It's really not that. It's all man-made that's causing, you know, what's going on with the ducks. And, you know, same with deer in certain parts of Minnesota and pheasants. I mean, they're all affected, you know, by these, you know, man-made things, really.
What can be done, Steve, to try and help, you know, increase that duck population then? If a lot of it, like you're saying, is kind of man-made, what can we do to try and stop that to increase the duck population?
Well, boy, I don't know. That is really a tough question. I mean, farm practices are going to have to be changed. You know, buffers are going to have, they're talking about buffers along, you know, rivers and creeks to, you know, filter a lot of that runoff that goes in. You know, it'd be nice if they could create potholes again. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, when I was younger, there were potholes everywhere, and they always had ducks in them, and the water quality was good. But those potholes are gone, especially in western Minnesota, which used to be fantastic in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But, you know, they're all gone. So if I could wave a magic wand, I would say, plant, you know, let's make some potholes. Let's make 10,000 potholes and provide breeding areas for the ducks and opportunities for hunters as well. So, yeah, you know, they may end up cutting the duck limits down, too, especially after that report and people start, you know, talking about this. They may drop it, maybe cut them in half just to, you know, give the ducks a break for 2 or 3 or 4 years. You know, that's a possibility. But, you know, it's all about habitat. Same with pheasants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out to western Minnesota, you know, Montevideo, Granite Falls, Benson, all those areas, there is no habitat left. It's all black dirt. And pheasants can't, you know, thrive in there. Deer can't raise their, you know, babies out there. There's no place for them. So obviously there's no wildlife, and you really don't want to see that, you know, get up to northwestern Minnesota, up through the Dakotas. You really don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really complex, you know, question.
Well, normally this time of year, as we get into the spring, there's normally a lot of potholes. I see road crews out there trying to fix them.
I don't think the ducks are sitting in those.
I mean, there's some really big ones, Steve. I'm just saying, there's plenty of room for ducks. But when it comes to now that we're moving away from, you know, winter into spring and everybody's putting their stuff away from winter ice fishing, what's some of the best practices to keep your augers, electronics, maybe your portable ice houses, keeping them in the best shape possible heading into next winter?
Good call. You know, people tend, you know, ice fishermen tend to be lazy. They just take their stuff and throw it up in the rafters in the garage or whatever and forget about it. But really, you need to do, you know, take some preparations first. So grab yourself a can of WD-40, everybody's favorite friend, and take your auger and, you know, make sure you coat the blades with WD-40 on both sides. Mm. If you don't, next fall when you take out your auger, the screws are going to be rusted in so bad you're never going to get those blades off. And you're going to have a real problem. So, you know, soak them with WD-40 really good and put some cardboard under there. I do that every time at this time of the year. And then your hub houses, you know, they're a little tricky. They've got those turnbuckles in there that, you know, have the rods in there that expand to fold your tent type hub. You got to WD-40 those turnbuckles too, because if they rust, you're going to have a real problem, and it's not going to work, and it's going to break. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make sure you take that hub house, put it in your driveway, dry it out, put it in your garage. Do not put it away wet, and do not put it away in the carrying case, because it's all going to rust. You want to leave it out so air can get at it, and then WD-40 those turnbuckles, and then you'll be fine. Because you put it away wet, you aren't going to be happy. It's just going to wreck it. And then your electronics, make sure you take the battery, you know, disconnect the batteries. You know, when you leave those batteries on there, they can leach and, you know, get into your electronics and make a total mess. So just disconnect the batteries and you should be good to go. Those are kind of the three basics for ice fishermen, just to, you know, get those basic things done before you put them away.
Yeah, good advice there. And then should the batteries, should you keep them in the house then so they don't have the, I mean, I know they've been in the cold here, but you might have the heat of the summer. Does it matter? Can you keep them in a storage shed, or is it a better place to store them with a more consistent temp, say, in the house?
Well, good question, Bonnie. You know, I got batteries all over the house. I mean, it's hard to keep track of, you know, all these different batteries, but you really want them in a cool, dry place. You don't want to expose them to any, you know, super heat or any super cold, because lead acid batteries don't really last very long, and they're very susceptible to, you know, high temperature, low temperature. So you want to keep it somewhere cool, maybe in the basement or in a storage place, and, you know, in the house somewhere, and that'll prolong the life of those. You know, lithium are a little bit more durable. You know, basically, you know, lead acid, you just want to make sure it's in a, you know, cool, dry place. And I always charge, you know, all my batteries, you know, every few months, you know, put a trickle charger on them and or put a meter on them and just check them and make sure they might need to, you know, need a little bit of charging during the off season. But yeah, lead acid batteries, it takes, you know, a lot of time to, you know, properly ensure they're going to keep working.
Great advice. Okay, Steve, we will catch you again next Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to have some walleye tonight. I don't know about you guys.
Good for you. You're just trying to make us jealous.
Sorry, I know, right?
And hunker down. You're going to get more snow than us probably. Hunker down tomorrow.
We need it. Boy, I'll tell you, our lakes are so low. We need, I hope we just get tons of rain, because we really need it. We're down at least a couple of feet. So this is good news. I hope it's all rain.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Steve, have a great week. We'll catch you next Friday.
Sounds great, you guys. Take care.
You too. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail. Find out more at autofixrepairs.com. Bridget making us hungry because she's sending us pictures of cuts of beef.
I know.
And she's going to talk all about that coming up next.
7:23, we head down to the farm with our ag director, Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic, as always, and good things to talk about. So one of them is North Dakota leads the region in farm-to-school activities and outcomes. To be perfectly honest, North Dakota leads a large region of states, with 75% of our school food authorities in the state serving local foods in school lunches. Top five local foods might be considered beef, milk, baked goods. Feel free to bring on those cookies, folks. Apples and potatoes. And
apples.
I was surprised at apples.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not an orchard state, but everybody has an apple tree. I'm guessing that's maybe how it's happening.
That's interesting.
Well, I'll find out the details, because the lady in charge of this program for North Dakota is Amanda Olson. She's with North Dakota Department of Public Instruction. She's going to join me on air for Weather and Ag in Focus one day in April. Hmm. And I look forward to hearing her kind of tell us more about this. She says she's got lots of exciting news, and especially for those who are producers, whether you're gardeners, farmers, etc., how can you get more local produce and foods into your local schools?
Love it.
Yeah. think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of those foods, we mentioned that one of the top ones is certainly beef. Mm-hmm. And I sent y'all a picture, and I'm sure this is something we can put on our Facebook pages for Weather and Ag and Focus or for Bonnie and Friends. But where does your beef come from on the animal? And I don't know, have you guys ever looked at this diagram very closely?
I've kind of looked at ones in the past before,
but I haven't like focused and locked in on it, I guess.
Sure. So we're probably not paying as much of attention as where we're getting things from. And often we hear how great flank steak is. Man, as soon as somebody gets a Traeger, oh, I'm smoking flank steak. Can't wait to give it a try. Well, when you think about it, it's actually the underbelly towards the rear of the animal. And I don't think we all realize and pictured where that might be coming from. The porterhouse is actually towards the top line of the animal and about two-thirds of the way back. If you were to go from behind the shoulder or above the shoulders to the rear end of the animal, you would find a flat iron steak, a chuck center roast, a ribeye roast, porterhouses, top sirloins, and then the top round steaks. So it's interesting to kind of sort out where those cuts are. Does that make them more tender than other places, etc.? And maybe you don't quite think about where you find them, you know, like short ribs. Well, they're actually just lower on the animal behind the neck. Hmm. Bet you didn't see that one coming.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize where those were, yeah. And the wonderful thing is we've got a number of great butcher shops here in town and in the region that if you just don't know, like, I want a really tender, juicy cut of meat, ask them. They can give you direction on what you will be looking for depending on what you plan to do.
They've all got great charts, just like this, in their butcher shops. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I listen to the ads that I hear Ole Alsager doing for Alsager Meats.
He's adorable.
He is. And, you know, he's probably not too far off from being able to tell us what this chart says without even looking at it. Mm-hmm. I think he's spent enough time to know. And we should all know, too. It's more than just ground burger on a beef.
Yeah, that's true.
And there might be a lot of people grilling tonight since the weather's going to be nice. They're not going to be grilling tomorrow probably, but tonight would be a great
time. Some might be grilling. They'll just be in their garage or something tomorrow, Bonnie.
Don't grill in the garage.
Well, they'll be right outside of it-ish, around it, you know. But I was just shocked and I saw this chart and found out where the rump roast came from, Bonnie.
Does it come from the rump?
Well, obviously.
Well, from now on, when we call you a rump roast, you'll feel understand why. Jace.
Exactly. I know.
Boom.
Right?
Okay. Boom. All right. So now there's several applications due. And one of them is for the Leopold Award. Those applications are due April 15th. This can go to a North Dakota rancher, farmer, or forester who goes above and beyond in the care and management of natural resources. It's a $10,000 award presented to a private landowner in honor of renowned conservationist Aldo Leopold, and it recognizes landowners who inspire others with their dedication to land, water, and wildlife habitat management, and so forth on their private lands. Again, those applications are due April 15th. Then, I'm still wanting to make sure I have plenty of students lined up to be my Ag Assistant Director coming up throughout the year. And so if you have an interest in communications, a background in agriculture, you're a sophomore to in high school to a sophomore in college, and you want to have a day on the radio, please let me know. ag@flagfamily.com is my email address, and you can email me there. I'll send you the application. Would love to continue to have students joining me. I've got a few lined up for the next couple months, but I'm always looking ahead. And by all means, we'll find a day that works best for you and your schedule to come on air, answer questions with me, interview guests, and so much more.
And it is so fun to hear them. They've been doing a fantastic job. What a learning experience to learn from the best in the business. And, you know, they can put it on their resume and just, I mean, what a kick for them to be on the radio, and they're learning things too.
You know, you're going to put things on your college applications, and this is considered a job shadow. And you never know if you decide that this is what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, another application you can fill out. Y'all are going to be busy during the snowstorm filling out my applications. And that is for the quilt we're giving away here at WDAY called the Farmer's Prayer. It's a 5x7 quilt that is handmade. It features the Farmer's Prayer. You can go to our website for WDAY, find the National Ag Week button, click on it, and nominate your favorite farmer so we can give this away to a farm family. We'll be giving it away next Friday, March 21st, during Weather and Ag in Focus.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, again, all those deadlines and things, or if you want to see that beef cuts diagram, you can send me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. Happy to share those things with you. If you got any homework, well, I'm not afraid of it. You might as well send it on over.
There you go.
In fact, I had a listener yesterday say, have you ever heard of a British white as a cattle breed? I had not. I Googled it.
Yeah.
Found out we've got a producer not far from us in Fargo, and I'll have her on air soon enough to talk about the British White. I appreciate those types of questions.
Absolutely.
If you're curious, the rest of us are curious too, so let's figure it out.
You guys hammer her with emails. She has all day tomorrow to work on things and do research for you.
I can't wait to find out how a British cow moos, you know, so.
With a slight accent and a pinky in the air.
I say moo, old chap, moo.
Oh, no, we're going to be another one of those commercial cuts when Bonnie goes on.
When Bonnie gets after it, you just never know. Thank you, Bridget. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. And she mentioned get your nominations in for a Farmer's Prayer Quilt. Brought to you, TripleEInc.com and Sendak Cooperative. And thanks to them for helping sponsor a Farmer's Prayer Quilt, part of National Ag Week, which we will be celebrating all next week. 7:30, that weather is going to be changing tonight into tomorrow. Tomorrow, not a good day to travel at all. Dino is in shortly with more details on the forecast. 7:32, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, busy with our interesting weather pattern here.
Yeah, well, that's March in the High Plains, Northern Central Plains. A big storm system riding out of the Rockies right now. Going to give a big severe weather outbreak likely from, Iowa, Illinois, southward through Missouri. And on the cold side, that's what we get to deal with, is a wintry mess as we head into tonight and tomorrow. So enjoy today. We're looking at a decent day. Right now, temperatures already in the upper 40s to right around 50. And we're going to make it up to a near record high today in the upper 60s with partly cloudy skies. In southeast winds, a little breezy, about 10 to 20. Now, rain overspreads the area tonight. This will start after about 8 o'clock or so. It moves in from the south and southeast. It'll be pivoting around towards the valley. And that will continue. The rain will scattered. And then we might even see a rumble of thunder mixed in there. That'll continue through about midnight. Then we'll start to see cold air pull into this system. And then we'll see a wintry mix between midnight and about 5 a.m. of rain, sleet, snow, freezing rain, you name it. And then as we head towards sunrise, or a little bit before sunrise, we'll start to see this change over to snow, and then the winds ramp up 30 to 50, and temperatures will be in the 20s. Tomorrow morning is not going to be pretty for travel, I'll just tell you right now. Winter storm watches blanket the entire area. These will be upgraded to warnings, especially, I think, in the lakes country. I don't want you to focus on how much snow we're going to get, because, right, to be honest with you, in the FM area, we're probably only going to see about 1 to 3 inches of snow. The heavier snow is going to be focused, it looks like, into lakes country, where they see 6+ inches, probably 6-9 inches of snow, along with the winds. So the worst part of this storm is going to be east of the valley. But again, even with 1 to 3 inches of snow here, it's going to be a mess. So tomorrow morning is going to be a mess. Temperatures in the 20s all day tomorrow. Conditions will slowly improve by tomorrow night, and then Sunday much quieter with highs around 30. And then most of next week we're in the 30s with a chance for a little more light snow as we head into Tuesday. So again, we'll update you more when our morning model runs come in. I'm sure the National Weather Service is going to have warnings issued for parts of the area by the time lunchtime rolls around. So we'll be updating the forecast throughout the day and see if there's any change in where the heavy snow may fall. But right now it looks like it's concentrating on Lakes Country.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Weather is brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:35. We've got to check on your national news, and then we have a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. Then Dean will return for your 3-degree guarantee.
7:38, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night, Morehead Spud boys basketball winning the Section 8-4A championship over top-seeded St. Michael Albertville by a score of 59-58. Spuds punching their ticket to next week's state tournament. That'll take place from March 20th through the 22nd. They'll find out Saturday morning what seed they have, who their opponent will be, and what time they'll play on Thursday. As the Spuds, congratulations to them and good luck in the state tournament for boys basketball this upcoming week. North Dakota Boys Class 2A State Tournament quarterfinals. West Fargo High over Dickinson, 82-55. Davies over Bismarck High, 80-77. Century defeats North, 88-69. And Mandan over Red River, 83-71. For the girls' bracket quarterfinals, you had West Fargo Horace defeat Bismarck Legacy, 73-59. Mandan over Red River, 58-57. Bismarck Century defeated Shanley, 59-54. And Minot High over Davies, 65-59. The girls' semifinals will be today at the Fargo Dome, with West Fargo Horace battling Mandan at 1 o'clock, Century and Minot High at 3. And in the boys' bracket, the evening session, you'll have right here on WDAY Radio the first semifinal with West Fargo High against Fargo Davies. It'll be 6:30 to tip off with Steve Hallstrom on the call. And then your evening nightcap will be around 8:30 with Bismarck Century against Mandan. All four of those matchups for the boys and girls for the right to go to the state championship on Saturday night. That'll be here on WDAY Radio as well. Tonight, the Timberwolves are going to welcome the Orlando Magic to the Target Center. Tip off at 7 o'clock. Minnesota riding a 6-game winning streak as they also are 38-29 in the season, trying to get a top 6 seed in the Western Conference. North Dakota men's hockey at Omaha tonight for game 1 of their best of 3 NCHC quarterfinal series. Tonight will be a 7 p.m. puck drop. Saturday is a 7 p.m. puck drop. And if necessary, game 3 on Sunday would drop the puck at 6 p.m. And running out sports this hour, Saturday afternoon over on our sister station, the Flag, NCAA Central Region Quarterfinals, as Dragon Men's Basketball, the 2 seed in the region, will battle 7 seeded Fort Hays State. 2 p.m. pregame, 2:30 tip-off. Going to be exciting down in Topeka, Kansas, as the Dragons try and advance in the national tournament. Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
741, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in next with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:43, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
Okay, I was going for a record tying high of 64 yesterday.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
We didn't make it.
Oh.
Did we even hit 60?
61.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we hit 61.
Oh, you did make it.
Yeah, I was hoping to get that record. Today, the record is 68. I'm going for it.
Okay.
We're going to go 68 for today's 3-degree guarantee. Spring before the storm hits, as we will have south-southeast winds about 10 to 20. So a breezy, warm day today.
That's just crazy.
Isn't it? So we go from 68 today to 26 tomorrow.
Good grief.
Yeah. And as we transition again, a wintry mess expected late tonight into tomorrow. The heaviest snow now looks to be off to the east of the valley into Lakes Country. I really only think we're going to see about an inch. To if we got 3, that'd be pushing it here in the FM area. But the problem is going to be the strong winds, 30 to 50 tomorrow morning, that's going to cause reduced visibility. And again, if you head east of the valley, that's where conditions really start to deteriorate quickly.
Yeah, fun times.
Well, what just, you know, alter your travel plans tomorrow. That's all.
What an up and down week, though.
Isn't it been crazy?
I mean, you get to 63, then you drop, you know, 28 degrees, or actually it ended up being a high of 66, and we went down to 33 the next day.
Yeah.
33 degree difference, and now today till tomorrow, we're talking about a 40 degree difference.
It's
I mean,
isn't he good in math?
Yeah.
He is.
He's
yeah.
in charge of all math questions.
Is
on
he,
this show.
He should be.
Uh-huh. Well, there's that. But I mean, I don't remember a week like this in a long time where we've had such up and downs
up and
as far as high temperatures.
Remember,
in
I told
a week.
You we'd be on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Boy, this is a real.
This is a very very steep roller coaster here. We're really hitting the highs and the lows.
It's been a crazy weather week, that's for sure. But hey, you know what? It's March, and it's not totally unheard of for this time of the year.
Yeah.
So again, if you have travel plans tomorrow, please keep up to date on the forecast. Although we will see some snow here in the FM area, the heaviest definitely looks to be east of the valley.
All right. Thank you, Dino. And that's a 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
7:45, a big nope for this pizza delivery driver. Police to the rescue. More on that coming up next. 7:46, a Fri-yay right here on Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is Gatorland. We all know that.
Obviously.
If you have friends down there, or if they go up for a vacation, you'll often see them sitting outside a pool, which is usually enclosed by a fenced-in area to keep the gators out. Correct,
yeah,
Mundo?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I've seen friends with their places, and they've got a little covered pool area in the back, and I thought maybe it just might be so you can get more swimming in there in the summertime with all the rain that they probably get, because, you know, it's always humid there. It seems like it rains more there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, gators. Even when I was in Georgia for a while, I mean, it was like still kind of thought, well, maybe there's going to be, you know, gators around there somewhere, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. there was a place that we went to that was, I think that was on St. Simons. I think it was on Tybee Island, Georgia, if you look that up on the map. And there was a place, a restaurant or something we went to, and they had a big, like, gator display outside. You know, those big pool areas with just tons of alligators in mm-hmm. them. So mm-hmm. they're usually all over the place down in the southeast.
And people are kind of used mm-hmm. to them. But a pizza delivery driver in Bradenton, Florida,
mm-hmm.
was making the delivery, pulls up, and there's a cop there, and the officer told them, yeah, you probably don't want to get out of your car. We have an 8-foot alligator in the driveway here under a car.
Unfortunately, the driver was fired for not delivering the pizza in 30 minutes or less.
No, but you know, when you've got a job to do, you've got to make sure that pizza gets delivered, right?
Well, we heard about the pizza delivery guy, was it up in the Midwest somewhere, where he was walking a block in the snowstorm because... trying to get that pizza to the family that ordered it.
And yeah, that was
he was
a few
doing
weeks
his
back.
Job. Yeah,
yep. And
this guy sees a gator and it's like, nope.
Well, no. The cop give said the, there's an 8-foot gator and it could be dangerous. So
give the gator some breadsticks.
But I have this pizza. This customer wants this pizza. So the officer agreed to take the pizza and go to the back door and deliver it to the resident. And then the resident's like, how much is it? He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm not the pizza delivery guy.
Well, normally you got to prepay to get your pizza delivered, so you should have already paid with your card. But
not
whatever.
In this case. A woman ended up taking the food. She gave the officer some money. Psst, can you please give this to the real delivery driver? And so the officer did. That's funny.
Do we have video that the...
Policemen
actually gave the money to the driver?
Of course they do. Oh, okay. They're honest. They had body cam footage, which of course has been shared on social media now. Yeah, how much is the pizza, woman asked the officer. I have no idea. I am not the pizza man. So she paid him off. They say the police department wrote, pizza with a side of gator? Officer Tolson responded to calls about the 8-foot gator in a 55-plus community, intercepted a terrified pizza delivery driver, and ensured that a hungry customer was fed and a hungry gator wasn't, all in a day's work. Aww. I love this story. There was another gator story in the news, too.
Yeah.
That was a Florida one also, right?
Yeah.
Somebody left their door open and they ended up with a gator.
Was that in Florida as well?
I think so. I'm trying to find it. Well, you sit there and ask me questions.
Well, I got to ask questions about a story nothing about.
I do know something about it because I came across it and I made sure I threw it.
You're supposed to read it and memorize it so you don't have to look it up again.
I do all the heavy lifting. You can at least read it
and come in
with an assist.
You're still lifting. I'm waiting for you to lift it so I can give you that assist.
The person on the stats book is not giving you points here for an assist because you are of no help. You're just spouting
Hey,
off
how about
over
that
there.
Alligator in the kitchen, buddy. How about that? Tell me more.
I found it. 7-foot alligator makes itself a home in a couple's house. Yes, it was in Fort Myers area. It was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
They say Gateway, Florida, so near Fort Myers. Instead mm-hmm. of doing his usual routine checking his mail, this homeowner found a nearly 7-foot gator in his kitchen area. He's like, oh, CRAP, I've got to deal with this today.
Uh-huh. Was there a dog found?
I don't know. He called 911, waited almost an hour before Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission arrived on the scene.
Mm.
He kept his distance, the homeowner, but he did take pictures, pretty good ones here. And he said he and his wife sometimes leave the door open to get an extra breeze inside. Well, that's not all they got.
Might want a screen door on it next time.
I guess it did have a screen. The gator ripped a hole in the screen and also decided to, you know, heck with you. Chomped down on a chair, too. Left a bite mark in a chair. The gator grabbed the chair by the leg. When the conservation officer arrived, he was trying to wrestle. He got the gator, but the gator decided to chomp on the chair at that point.
Yeah, they always...
Two teeth. I hope they were bad ones. Otherwise, I wonder if they had to put him like in a cup of milk and go to the gator dentist with him
I think the gator's got enough teeth. He probably didn't need just, you know, those two that fell out.
Okay, so he's going to be fine is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the interesting thing about like gators, it's one of those things where once they close their mouth, I mean, they have really good bite strength, mm-hmm. but that's biting down. So they don't have quite the strength to open that jaw. So a lot of times you see on... animal videos, they've got the right at their kind of their snout. They've got it taped up or something, so that way they can't get that jaw open and do some damage to you.
Fun stories. I mean, yeah. As long as they end well, like these two stories yeah. did, it could be a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. But fun stuff. 752, Bonnie and Friends, Dollar General warning that low-income Americans are suffering more in the economy right now, and we'll tell you more on that story and others coming up in your Money and Markets straight ahead. 756, checking out your Money and Markets. The opening bell rings on Wall Street after stocks closed sharply lower yesterday as tariffs and threats of tariffs stoke concerns amongst investors. S&P 500 finished just over 10% off its record close to end the day in market correction territory. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial fell by 537 points. S&P 500 lost 77, and the NASDAQ was down 345. That's a big, another big ouchy day.
Yeah, there's another ouchy day. The whole overall, this whole week, and maybe week and a half or so, Bonnie,
yeah, it was
been
a tough
really,
week.
Really tough week. President Trump says he will place a 200% tariff on all alcoholic products from the European Union. In a post on True Social, Trump said it would be in response to a 50% tariff on whiskey implemented by the EU. I mean, 200 versus 50, I guess. But the president said the union was created for the sole purpose of taking advantage of the U.S. He added the tariff will be great for champagne and wine businesses across the country. It all comes after both the EU and Canada responded with tariffs of their own yesterday after Trump placed some on steel and aluminum imports. Mm-hmm.
Dollar General warns that low-income Americans' financial conditions are getting worse. The retail chain has more than 20,000 stores. They're mainly in rural areas, and mm-hmm. its core customers earn less than $40,000 a year. CEO said on an earnings call yesterday, many of the Dollar General customers report they only have enough money for basic essentials. Some even have to forego basic necessities. This after inflation finally cooled in February for the first time in 5 months, but other costs like housing and health care, of course, remain mm-hmm. expensive.
They do. A watchdog group is raising concerns about whether the FAA's business with Elon Musk's Starlink violates conflict of interest laws. The Campaign Legal Center wrote in a letter to the Transportation Department's Inspector General that Musk, quote, blatantly and improperly influenced, end quote, the FAA's work with Starlink. It's come under criticism recently after reports that the Trump administration was considering canceling Verizon's $2.4 billion contract in favor of Musk's satellite communications firm.
For those who care, Donatella Versace is stepping down as the brand's chief creative officer after nearly 30 years.
No!
Yeah. Starting in April, she'll take on a new role as chief brand ambassador. Mm. Dario Vital, who previously worked with Prada's Miu Miu. I have no idea how
to
pronounce
it. That's
what
your cat said.
Miu Miu. M-I-U. It's a Prada brand. Will step in as a new creative director with reports swirling the Prada group is close to buying Versace.
Oh,
interesting.
Prada Versace, Versace Prada.
It's all fancy.
This should come as no surprise, although I'm wondering what... I wonder what people over in Dublin and the rest of Ireland kind of think about this. But St. Patrick's Day is this Monday, and consumers will be digging into their pots of gold to celebrate.
I don't think we have
Lassie, we do.
No, we do. You got a pot of gold over at your house? There's
Maybe.
Not a pot of gold at my house.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I can't confirm nor deny.
He lives in a different zip code than I.
That's true, I do. The National Retail Federation says they expect over 60% of Americans to celebrate the holiday, and they'll each spend an average of $43 on the celebration.
On, like, decorations and garb or green beer?
Yes.
All of it?
Yes. Okay. That comes out to around... $7 billion.
Yeah, and St. Patrick's Day, you know, the parade's a big deal. We had to postpone it. It's not tomorrow, so don't go out in the snow and the blizzard. It'll be next Saturday. But it is a big deal, and those who aren't Irish want to be Irish, but it's just a fun. People are happy.
I just hope that the people that have birthdays around this weekend don't get lumped into that $7 billion. Just saying. My daughter's birthday is not related to St. Patrick's Day. Don't include it.
So she can't double dip on the holiday is what you're saying?
No, it's just if we buy her something green, it's just coincidence. It's not St. Patrick's Day themed.
Okay. Does she like green?
I don't know. She doesn't like it when I say if you were born a day later, you would have been named Patricia Saint. But, you know.
That's my own personal inside joke with her.
I don't blame her.
Come on, Patricia. She's like, that's not my name. That's not funny.
Oh, gotta love teenagers. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're past the teenage years.
I know, right?
It's 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 8:02, the weekend. We can see it. We're heading into the weekend here. Today is going to be absolutely lovely. Tomorrow, not so much. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki's here.
All right.
Weekend is just over the horizon, buddy. I can see it.
It's getting closer.
Yes, it is.
I got 1 foot out the door already.
Get back in here.
You had 1 foot out the door Tuesday. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Who
are you
fooling? Don't tell the boss.
And Monday she was like, this is the longest week ever.
Right? Well, we are looking at almost a spring-like day today. It's going to feel like spring. We're going to have a nice southeast breeze. You'll notice more moisture, more humidity as we head towards the mid to late afternoon as well. We're currently in the upper 40s to right around 50. That's incredible for this time of the morning. And we're looking at highs today in the upper 60s. There will be some areas that hit the low 70s today in the far southern valley. So, yeah, if that's not a sign of spring. But then Mother Nature says, not so fast. We've got a storm coming in tonight and tomorrow. If you haven't heard about it, then you've been living under a rock, I'm guessing, or you just got into town. And you know.
Listen, Linda. Yeah. Listen to Dino.
So we'll have rain and maybe a few embedded rumbles of thunder moving into the area as we head after about 8 o'clock tonight. And then with that rain, as colder air kind of pulls into this system after midnight, we'll see a wintry mix of freezing rain, sleet, maybe a little bit of snow or ice pellets mixed in there. And then by 6 a.m., we're expecting that to change over to snow in the valley. And we're going to have strong winds with this as well, 30, 50-mile-an-hour winds out of the north. Now, it's going to be a pretty short window of heavy snow here in the FM area the way it looks right now. So I'm not expecting a lot in the way of accumulation. But just east of the valley into Lakes Country, we're looking at 6 or more inches of snow, a very high likelihood, along with some very strong winds. So although right now, and we'll see if the track of this changes, I'm expecting about 1 to 3 here in the FM area, and as you get into Lakes Country, 6 to 8. So as you go eastward, the amounts get higher. As you go westward, the amounts drop off to nearly, you know, hardly anything at all. So keep that in mind if you have any travel plans tomorrow. Conditions will not be good in the morning. We're going to go from upper 60s today to 20s for highs tomorrow. And then Sunday, we quiet things down right around 30. And most of next week looks pretty, for March, looks pretty tame. Maybe a little light snow on Tuesday into Wednesday. But other than that, temperatures generally in the 30s for most of next week.
Yeah, seasonable.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. A little below normal, but that's okay. This is we'll probably have one or two more storms in this stormy part of the LRC cycle, which will go through the end of the month. I foresee one probably towards the end of the month, the way it looks. We'll see how that irons out. But again, if you have travel plans going east tomorrow, I would just alter those until Monday or Sunday, I should say. If you're going west tomorrow, I think you're going to be okay once you get out of the valley.
Okay. Well, that's not so bad then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks, Dino.
You bet.
8:05 coming up Monday morning, 6:56-ish, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo. Choose from a huge variety of guitars for beginners to awesome guitar upgrades. We will be showcasing songs from Elvis, the Beatles, Dr. Hook, and Van Halen.
Okay, so you do an accent for the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Well, then why don't you do one for Elvis?
I'm trying to do my little honka honka burn.
Wait a minute. Let me get my camera. No, come on.
All right, honka honka burn.
I mean, I got to zoom in first on that. Just there.
My
you
Elvis,
go.
A honka honka burn of love.
Look for the Facebook page for that. That was all facial expression. Yeah. I mean, you can really see Elvis in that one, Bonnie. Good job.
When Logan was 3 and he was in preschool, yeah, all the kids at one point were doing, they had their lip curled up, and the teachers were trying to figure what was going on. And
yeah,
it turned out they all had watched The Wizard of Oz. And is it the Oompa Loompas that do the lollipop girl?
Yeah, they talked to.
Yeah. And all the kids were doing that. It took the teachers a little bit to figure out what the heck was going on.
I would have wondered too. I would have been like, what are you guys doing?
So ridiculous.
806 Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 810 Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Minnesota Twins in spring training play.
Sports department's busy. You guys are firing off games all over the place. You even got Steve Holstrom.
Yeah.
Back up to the backup.
Hey, well, you know what? If Steve was unavailable, Bonnie was going to have a rude awakening tonight.
After nap time, we have something to do.
Well, the Twins continued spring training play yesterday when they crushed the Pittsburgh Pirates 15-3. Starters are playing the front end of the game. The back end is still the reserve type guys, but the Twins now have another crack at Tampa Bay tonight as they continue. They're officially over midway through the spring, and believe it or not, we're a week away from the first series of the MLB season, the series that's over in Japan. Is it Padres and Dodgers, I believe?
Somebody on the West Coast, I believe,
if I remember correctly. Cause
next week?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, it's weird because they're going to do a series and they come back for a week of spring training games.
Yeah, that is.
Because it's something to do with the time overlap and overseas in Asia and whatnot.
I get that, but I just don't know why they don't finish up spring training and preseason stuff and then go play the series over there.
You're talking to the wrong idiot. I think it would make sense to finish spring training and then start the regular season personally.
It would make a lot of sense.
I'm also the same guy that thinks that NFL should have a bye week into a Thursday night football game so you get 10 days between
on both sides,
your body.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Roger Goodell thinks that that's a stupid idea.
Yeah, we only need 3 days rest between football games. What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. 3 days with, don't get me started, all right?
Obviously didn't
the commissioners
in
these
input.
Big leagues don't know what they're doing, and they all know it, but they just keep funneling cash into their pockets.
That's a different argument and a different debate for a different day.
Okay.
Now that we know where I stand, let's get back to the local stuff that matters.
Okay.
Minnesota boys section 8-4A championship basketball last night. Number 2 seeded Moorhead over 1 seed St. Michael Albertville in a tight one, 59-58. Spuds entering the state tournament now next week, March 20th through the 22nd. They will find out this Saturday late morning what seed they get, who their opponent will be, and what time they'll play on Thursday in the quarterfinals round next week. North Dakota Class 2A boys state tournament quarterfinals last night. West Fargo over Dickinson, 82-55. Davies defeated Bismarck High, 80-77. Century over North, 88-69. And Mandan takes down Red River, 83-71. In the girls' quarterfinals, West Fargo Horace gets their first winner's bracket win in program history as they defeat Bismarck Legacy, 73-59. Mandan over Red River in the slimmest of margins, 58-57. Bismarck Century downs Shanley, 59-54. And Monat High edges out Fargo Davies, 65-59. The girls' semifinals will be the early session, the early afternoon session here this afternoon up at the Fargo Dome. West Fargo Horace and Mandan at 1 o'clock. Then 20 minutes after that one wraps up, Bismarck Century gets Minot High. In the boys' session, you'll have at 6:30 right here on WDAY Radio, West Fargo High against Fargo Davies for the right to go to the state championship game. And then 20 minutes after that one goes final, you'll have Bismarck Century and Mandan for the other half of the state championship representatives on the boys' bracket. Timberwolves return home to the Target Center tonight, host the Orlando Magic, tip-off at 7 o'clock. Wolves have won 6 straight games, and they are 38-29 on the season. Magic enter 31-36. The Magic got a win last night, but it is night 2 of a back-to-back for them on the road. Keep that in mind. The Wolves, with all that being put out there and a couple of injuries, the Wolves are expected to win this one against Orlando and continue their winning ways. Now that I said that out loud, when they lose, you can call, text, email me, whatever, yell at me. That's fine. As long as they win, that's all I care about. If they lose, I guess I'll take blame at this point for mentioning that. And North Dakota men's hockey at Omaha, the NCHC's quarterfinals, best of 3 series. Tonight and tomorrow, the puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And if necessary, game 3 would be Sunday night at 6 p.m. as well. Saturday afternoon over on our sister station, The Flag. We have men's college basketball, the NCAA Central Region quarterfinals for Division II hoops. Number 2 MSUM against number 7 seeded Fort Hays State 2 o'clock pregame, a 2:30 tip off. Jason and I on the call for that one. We'll be in Topeka, Kansas.
All hate mail can be sent to sports@flagfamily.com.
That goes to you too.
I know, that way I can see what they say about
you. Oh,
gotcha.
Whatever. You're such a loser some days. You really are.
I was gonna say
you're
diva,
so mean.
But, you know, either works. A loser, a diva. What's it matter? As long as hate mail's directed at James, I just want to see him laughing.
I know, like exactly. Like I want to point girl. Laugh. That's all that matters.
Just I cannot be nice, believe. Jace, okay, we're being nice today.
HR, do you see what I deal with?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
He is a diva, though. You're right.
Golly,
somebody has to be.
I love the story out of Jersey City, New Jersey. A guy named Damon LaSalle, he was one of the biggest stars in Division III volleyball 20 years ago.
Okay.
He was in his final year playing, and his grades weren't good enough, so he was ruled academically ineligible to play. Wow. So his volleyball college career, done. His mom always wanted him to earn his college degree, and she has passed on.
Yep.
His wife encouraged him. He's a stay-at-home dad. She encouraged him, go back to college. Get your degree. Play that final season of volleyball. He's back in school. He's got a 3.8 GPA. He is playing volleyball. He says he can't jump as high, can't hit as hard. He's a little slower. And he feels like he has a professional team taping him up each time and sewing him together. But he's living his best life.
Hey, that neoprene comes in handy when you get past age 40. I'm just saying. But no, I mean, got that and you've got that desire. I mean, remember the guy that was down at North Dakota
school? NDSCS. Yep.
And he was like 42 or 41.
No, he was working full time, going to school full time.
No, I think he was my age. I think he was like 49 at the time.
Yeah, he was late 40. Yeah, okay. But
he was able to get out there.
He's a veteran as well.
Yeah, and he's able to get out there and do it. I mean, a lot of times, I tell you what. When I was doing the semi-pro thing and I was around the Fargo Invaders, sometimes just simply being around people that are half your age playing a sport, whatever, it just makes
you love.
Yeah, it just makes you feel young again. And that's why, to some extent, I get such a thrill out of being around the Dragons for football and basketball seasons, because it's just, you feel like you're part of a team again, which, has been many, many years since I've been on a team. Mm-hmm. So,
how many exactly?
Since I was in high school sports, it'd be like, what?
Whoa!
34?
How long?
Probably 34, 35 years.
Whoa.
How old are you?
Older than you think.
I see why he's dipping into the fountain of youth now. He's going to turn to dust pretty soon. We're going to have to start mummifying him.
Maybe.
Just to keep everything held together.
Certain parts of me are older than others.
You've played sled hockey, so you're still in organized sports.
Yeah.
Not this year.
No.
But maybe next year.
I really wish we could.
Are you saying that the checking is going to be too much for him this year?
No, I might just take a puck off the chest, which probably
would
be frowned upon.
That would not be a good thing. No,
we got to make sure that it's functioning properly, don't
we? True. Maybe we can just get like a Kevlar vest or something like that, and I can strap that on.
Yeah.
We'll just swing by the PD real quick. Yeah. We'll get a vest.
I'll go past my old coworker and say, can I borrow something for a little bit?
Yeah.
We don't need any heart stoppages. You did that to us 9 times already. We did not lose count on that. So, But I love this story.
Yeah. I mean, especially the part, too, about going back to school and finishing that degree. I mean,
that's huge. And it was like, he knows his mom's up there smiling down upon him, that he's living his best life. He's got great grades. He's going to finish up his career. And he got to play that last year of volleyball that he didn't get to play.
I don't know about you guys, but I know that when I was probably definitely in my 20s, I don't know if I had the dream when I was in my 30s as well, but I'd occasionally have dreams where you're back in high school and you're like playing like one more season of basketball or football or whatever it was. It was always a weird dream, but when I was in high school, I missed a whole season of football because I had an appendectomy right at the beginning of the season. And back in the 80s, it was like they didn't know how soon you could come back. So there's times when you have those dreams that you're just like, oh, I'm back in high school. I got that one more season and one more game, whatever the case is. So, I mean, this guy's living out, what is a dream for a lot
Jace
of us.
Jace has flashbacks of Friday Night Lights, the TV or movie or TV series, whichever you prefer.
There you go. I had when they
never watched either of those.
When they started up Roller Derby League here in Fargo, I contemplated it, but I was probably like 42 or something. I thought, shoulder.
Could you imagine Bonnie on the roller skates just out there, just putting people on their tail ends?
I would too.
What would your derby name be, though, Bonnie?
I don't know. What would you name me?
I don't know.
The Iron Ranger.
She's got a mask on and a cowboy hat.
We don't wear cowboy hats up there.
Well, she used to play on the Lone Ranger, see? That's why.
Okay. But I think it would have been fun. Like, if I would have been maybe a little schnooker younger, I probably would have done it. But I know, didn't need to break all these bones.
I know Joel that was kind of working with us, and I knew him from other stuff. He, you know, he still goes, I guess, at times and plays pickup hockey games. He's like, if you ever want to come over and learn how to play or whatever, just let me know.
I know a lot of
that
guys.
That dude puts his body on the line a lot because he still plays town ball, too.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys in their 40s and 50s are playing pickup hockey still in town here.
Well, and I think, I mean, the only thing I'll say about, not that, you know, obviously I probably can do it, but skating would be a lot easier on my bad knee than it would be to try and run up and down a basketball court just because of the lack of cartilage there.
Yeah.
Because you're not jumping up and down, you know, like you do on a basketball court. But, man, I miss playing pickup games when we were down at the Y and there were guys older than me. We had a couple guys that were in their early 70s that still played with us there at pickup ball at noon. So it was a lot of us that came for years on the regular every day or every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday there from like noon to one. So it was a lot of fun playing.
Now you're confined to the recumbent bicycle.
Pretty much.
Chuck says, James, Roger Goodell's on the phone for you.
Hey, I would appreciate it. I would appreciate that. He won't answer anything I said.
No, but I bet it would be a fun conversation with probably a lot of yelling in the background and Jimmy just throwing his hands up.
All because I have a good idea that he couldn't come up with on his own. He can yell all he wants. I just want it to happen. I don't even need the credit.
There you go.
I'll take the credit. I don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it, but I don't mind it.
There's a lot. There's going to be a lot of deals and sales depending on where you're at on pi today because it's National Pi. Pi
3.14159.
Oh yeah.
James cares nothing about that number. He's just got shine in his eyes because he hears pi and he's hungry.
James is probably like, I don't know why it's Pi Day, but it's great. I love it.
Hey, my hometown, man, Pi Capital of Minnesota. We rocked and rolled with that stuff. So
there you go.
We took Pi Day seriously, and then we have Pi Days in the summer.
I was going to say every day's Pi Day isn't it?
There was actually a video from high school. We did mini pie tins, and because I was one of the kids that hosted the weekly update video show that we did. And I had a pie eating competition, and to say
but the problem was it was a pie eating contest with yourself, so you were going to win regardless. So
my buddy Jake
know
Jake, did you say mini pie? I had to do one year with big pies. And
I wish it was the full size one.
I wish it was a full size one.
There's like six of us lined up and we're eating a full pie.
The problem was it was our high school advisor. That's all that she brought in, and I was like, fine, we'll do it. We'll make it work.
Anybody those little tiny graham crackers.
Yeah, but when you tie your hands behind your back and you don't let us, that's what made it entertaining.
I had a full-size 10-inch pie or whatever they are. I had whipped cream in my hair by the time. I had all over my face.
Look at the effort Bonnie put in.
Well, if you really care that much, we can go back to pie days in August at my hometown. I've participated in that pie eating contest before. Those are full-size pie tins, and
What kind of pies do they normally have?
Whatever your heart desires.
Well,
what's your favorite?
You have classic apple, but I'm a big strawberry rhubarb guy.
Ooh, yummy. See, I love blueberry.
In-season rhubarb, very few things beat that in my life.
I was late to the game, but I love pecan pie.
Although,
if you go a pie eating contest and down a whole pecan pie, you're going to become
diabetic. Your next 12 hours are rough. Banana cream as well, can't go wrong.
Exactly, there you go.
All of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
8:25, the weekend is here. Look for Miller High Life and Miller High Life light displays in your local liquor store to support Veterans Memorial Center Beverage Wholesaler. Wholesalers will match up to $5,000 in donations to support the Veterans Memorial Center. If you buy 24 packs at your local liquor store of Miller High Life or Miller High Life Light through Memorial Day, a portion of each sale will go toward the Fargo Memorial Honor Guard. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, you can also scan the QR code on display in the liquor store and help fund a permanent facility and chapel to provide shelter and a space for veterans' families to gather. Just another way that Miller High Life and Miller High Life Light want to support our veterans. Find out more details on how to donate by scanning that code at your local liquor store or on the back page of the Good Life magazine this month. It's the same one a certain duo is featured in.
Read all about Jason.
I'm trying to find where those are. I haven't seen them in certain places I've gone to. So I got to find a copy to save. But this message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
There you go. 8:25. We are going to head to the American Ag Network. Then Janae and Ronnie slide in from the Coffee Club. We find out what they have planned on today's show. 8:28, the Coffee Club. Janae and Ronnie have entered the studio. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy Friday. Ready for it?
Yeah. Got the blower, rather, being fired up a little later today.
That just sucks. Well,
hopefully
it's been
you
so nice.
Hopefully you don't need it. We'll be on the lower end of the snow, but we shall see. I'm looking forward to today. 67 degrees. Heck yeah. Ronnie's got to spend all day in the building, though.
yes, absolutely. I know Dino was talking about a possibility of a, what was it, a 20-mile-wide band that they're watching?
I think
potentially
50-mile strip.
Heavier,
yeah, I thought he increased
heavier snow.
It.
Oh,
yeah,
50-mile
strip of it, yeah. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Minnesota Lakes Country is supposed to get the brunt of it, but who knows? He said it'll all depend on what time that snow starts at.
Yeah, I know they were looking at another model run maybe that was supposed to happen this morning.
Yeah, coming out probably during your guys' show, so you'll have a better idea about that. So fun. Hunker down tomorrow, everybody. What are you guys doing on the Coffee Club today?
Well, Dean's going to join us today. We're going to play Janae and Ronnie's categories. We're doing that. We're going to speak with Gina from Style Safe. And it's Friday, so that means it's what?
Veterans Friday.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to visit with Brady Oberg Legacy Foundation.
All right.
Tracy's stopping in.
All right. Looking forward to it. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. Jay's Safe Travels. Go
Thank
Dragons.
You betcha.
And Jason James, well, we'll see them when we see them next week.
We'll be here when we're here.
Yep. JT, otherwise, will be hanging out with me on Bonnie and Friends. Show starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow or Monday morning. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. That comes up next.